धाम की, वृंदावन धाम की, मायापुर धाम की, मधुरपुरी धाम की, जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की, द्वारकापुरी धाम की, चंद्रमाई की, यमुना माई की, तुलसी देवी की। All glories to Sumatra, all glories to Sumatra, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Namo Shivaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhagavate Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Bhagavani Prajayani, Narvishesha Shri Bhimari, Paschati Rishatakini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Ajnana Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shlakaya Chaturvedamena ಸಹಿವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪದಾಂ ಸಾಗರಾಮೃತಾಂ ಶ್ರೀಶಾಂಶ ನಮೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮೀ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣಿ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ಶ್ರೀ ವೃಷಭಾನವಿ ದೇವಿ ದೈದಾಯಕ ವಾಗ್ದೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಂಬಂಧ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನ ಕಾಯಿನೇ ಪ್ರಭವೇ ನಮಃ ಪ್ರೇಮಾದ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಾನಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಶಕ್ತಿ ಸಹಾಯ ನಮೋಸ್ತು ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ದಿನಧಾರಿಣಿ ಕುರುಬಾನೂತ ವಿರುದ್ಧ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತಹಾರಿಣಿ ನಮೋ ಗೌರಿ ಕಿಶೋರಾಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯ ಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ವಿಪ್ರಂ ವರ ಸಾಂಭೋಲೆ ಪಾದಾಂಬುಜಾಯ ದೇ ನಮಃ
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Vahaya Pradibodhinam Bhagavatam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gavilam Puranam Vrinam Madhe Mahabharatam Advaitamradavarshinim Bhagavadim Ashtadashadhyayini Ambatva Madhusandhadami Bhagavadgive Bhavadveshinim Stuhevyasa Vishala Buddhe Ullara Vindaya Dhamatra Netra Yelanvaya Bharata Taila Purna Prajwalito Jnanamaya Pradiva Prabhanna Parijadaya Totra Vetraiga Panaye Jnanamudraya Krishnaya Idamadamuhe Namah Sarvopanishado Gavo Dugdha Gopala Nandana Patho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Idamadam Mahat Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsa Chalo Varamardhanam Devagi Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum Vishmadronagada Jayadradajala Gandhara Nilo Ulpala Shalyagrahavati Krupena Mahani Karnena Velakula Ashwatthama Vigarna Ghora Magara Duryodhana Vartini Sotirna Khalvanda Vairana Nadi Kaivartala Keshavam Parashanya Vajasaroja Mamalam Vidartha Gandhol Kadam Nalakhyanaka Kesaram Harikatha Sambodana Bodhitam Logai Sarjana Shalpadaira Harahappe Viyamanam Muda Bhuyad Bharata Pangaja Kalimala Pradhum Sinashreyasem Mukham karo divajalam pangam langhaya degirim Yalkrupatamaham mulle paramananda madhavam Shri Krishna Yam Brahma virunendra rudra marudastvan vandivivyai stavayam Vedai sandhapadeir kramopanishadeir dhayandiyam samadaham Jnanam astiratatyadena manasa pasyandiyam yogino Yasyandam navidusura suragane devaya tasmena
helps us to get a release from the grip of the body. That's what we were discussing before, isn't it? Those qualities which Krishna says will help us to get a release from the grip of this body. That's what these qualities Krishna started talking about. That's why they are called Jnana Sadhana. Sadhana is in relationship with the cultivation of knowledge. To develop spiritual knowledge, these qualities help. That is Krishna's point. So we have seen last Sunday that everything, all bad qualities what we have, or what we call as the impurities inside, lust, anger, greed, and so on and so forth, so many things like that, they are all tied down to one thing, which is false ego. Isn't it? From false ego, they all originate. That is why he mentions yesterday, we also saw there, that when one has managed to control the anger, lust, greed, everything to high extent, still if the false ego is very powerful inside, he will fall again into it. So it's the false ego inside is the center or the pivot on which all other bad qualities develop in a person. Lust, anger, greed, hate, attachment, aversion, everything, the center point is, or the pivot point is the false ego. So, it is because of that Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, that even if a person is fallen heavily, and Durachari, Krishna says it as Durachari. Durachari means one who has gone in the wrong path in life, fell down to various addictions in life, for example, alcohol or eating meat or a relationship with women and things like that. Even if he has fallen in that way, Krishna says, he is called Durachari. Durachari means he has moved away from the path of dharma or religious principles. Such a person, and one who has gone down very far in that road, which is called Sudurachari. Durachari means very fallen, and Sudurachari means extremely fallen. Even such a person, Krishna says, if he comes to Krishna consciousness and surrender to Krishna, what will happen is, if he gives up his false ego, very quickly, Krishna says, he will make advancement in spiritual life. He should be considered as a sadhu. He says he should be considered as a spiritual personality, because Abhijay Sudhiracharya Bhajade Imam Ananya Bhag Sadhureva Samandavya Samyak Vasidohisa. This is the verse in the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna's point is that ahankaram, or this false ego, is the cause of all the problems. Krishna says, if such a person who has got all the other bad qualities, but if he has no false ego, very quickly he will come to my path. Krishna says he will accept my instructions. And that is why that in that verse you see there, Krishna says that indriyarteshu vairagyam anahangaram evaja, he says. That anahangaram is importance given because of this reason. Everything is connected with ahangaram, false ego. When a person has a lot of false ego inside, he will, all the bad qualities will be centered around that. But if the ahangaram is not there, all other bad qualities will very soon disappear. Krishna's point is that. That is why he says there, anahangaram evacha, in that verse. Isn't it? Indriyateshu vairagyam. Second line, anahangaram evacha. That is the connection with the Krishna didn't say about lust, anger, greed or anything like that. What he mentions there is anahangaram evacha. Ahangaram is the center from where all other bad qualities develops in a person. So those, if he has no ahangaram, then Krishna says other bad qualities will disappear very soon. It won't cause any problems. So therefore he says here, so he says, in order to develop this ahangaram evacha, Krishna mentions before also, isn't it? Amanitum, adambitum, all that is concerned with this ahangaram. Amanitum is freedom from ego. Ahangaram also say amanitum, adambitum also, pridelessness. They are all connected with that. After saying that, Krishna says, what is the sadhana for developing renunciation, detachment from this world? That sadhana is the next two lines you will see there. Janmam mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshana darshanam. Krishna says, isn't it? Why do we not develop vairagyam? Why there is no detachment in this world? Why do we not feel any need for any detachment? We all talk about detachment and we sometimes try to become detached. That is not the way it is. It doesn't work like that. You can try to become detached, but inside, if the vasanas are there, it will come back. Krishna's point is, in order for the detachment reason to happen, the first reason is that you have to see there is distress in the world. Only if you see the distress in the world, vairagyam will come. So first thing, before getting detached, to recognize that there is distress in the world is more important. It's only after that detachment will come. We are not convinced about that. That is why we are not feeling any need for any vairagyam. That is the only reason, nothing else.
unless we recognize there is distress in the world, we will not come to this point of vairagyam or renunciation or detachment. So, in order to that to happen, vivegam is necessary. We have of course spoken about this many, many times. Vivegam means the power to discriminate things in life, able to see things in the proper perspective, and able to see that is proper discrimination, to know the things in the proper way in this world. So most of us are thinking everything is singing and dancing in this world, is it not? Dingy dory, as the saying. It is not. That realization has to come first. It is not so. There is distress here. That is why only when that happens, vairagyam will come. And without vairagyam, jnanam won't come. And this is the way it is. Spiritual life is centered on these things. So, therefore, in Melpattur said to Krishna, Dukkhani aloke jandushu alam udida vivekoham ajarya vayaladhva tvadruva tattvam guna charita gada ulbhaval bhakti bhuma. Dukkhani alokyam, dukkham is what has taught me jandu. Jandu means one who does not know these things. There is a jandu difference. Is this jandu is one who doesn't have any discrimination. For jandu to have some discrimination, he has to have dukkham first. Only when you go through in life and a lot of distress experienced in life, then only that proper vivekam will develop inside, that able to see through things better. Vivekoham ajarya varyaladhva tudruvadatvam. When that happens, he will be inspired by Krishna inside to approach a person who is realized and inquire from him what is the solution for this situation. Is there any way out from here? Ladhva tadrupa tattvam. Tattvam about Krishna will be able to understand. And guna charitagada ulbhaval bhakti bhumam. That guna charitagada, about hearing about Krishna, Krishna's instructions, and that will in turn develop into bhakti. Maya menam taritvam paramasugamaye tulkruba moditahe. Otherwise, completely in the grip of Maya, one forgets about this spiritual truth, about the reality, spiritual reality, gets completely absorbed in the body. And unless there is Krishna's mercy, this is not going to happen. And that mercy from Krishna, or the grace from Krishna, comes in the form of distress. Actually, it is not something that has to be spoken and understood. It has to be experienced and understood. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see in the very beginning of Bhagavatam itself, Vedavyasa Maharshi presents to us one personality like that, who simply by analyzing life and experiencing distress in life, learned that distress is the only key to go back to Krishna. Vibhada sandhu nashashval tatra tatra jagal guru bhavato darshanam yasyal abunar bhavadarshanam. Kundi Devi said to Krishna. Isn't it? So Kundi Devi realized this more than anyone else. Key to spiritual realization, abunar bhavadarshanam, means not to take birth again. If there is any possibility of not to take birth again, the only option for that is vibhada sandhu nashashval. Continuously let me experience distress. Ubhada sanduna shashval tatra tatra jagalguru. Addressing Krishna as jagalguru, Kundi Devi says to Krishna, bhavado darshanam yasyal apunar bhava darshanam. Once I see you, Krishna says, Kundi Devi says to Krishna, bhavado darshanam yasyal. When will that happen? When more and more distress comes in life. So you can see, this is the conclusion of the realized souls who have understood what is Krishna. Their conclusion is, whether it is Kundi Devi, whether it is Melpattur, whether it is Vilumangalam, or anybody, doesn't matter. They all have only this one thing to say. When distress comes, take it as Krishna's mercy is coming. And when that mercy is coming, Kundi Devi says there that it brings you closer to Krishna. There is no other way. And it develops vairagyam inside, and that in turn takes you to closer to Krishna. So
in order to know this, this is why Vedavyasa Maharshi put Kundidevi as the first personality in the first canto itself, in the 8th chapter. The first prayers is from Kundidevi. Why? Because Kundidevi is the best example. Only if you have that approach in the Bhagavadam, you will able to understand Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam is not to be understood by any academic qualifications. It's only through that surrender. Surrender will happen there, is it not? That surrender from Kundidevi in the 8th chapter, what you find in the Bhagavadam, is due to distress. It is the distress that has caused everything for Kundidevi. After the Mahabharata war, Vedavyasa Maharshi was very disturbed. Disturbed in the sense, more or less all the members of the Pandava family was gone. In the Kaurava's family also, only Kripacharya, Kridavarma, Ashwathama, there were 3 or 4 persons left. Practically everyone else was killed in the war. It is in that distressed mood, after the Mahabharata war, while in that distressed state, that is when he wrote Bhagavadam. You have to remember that. But when Bhagavadam was written, Vedavyasa Maharshi's state of mind was what it was after the major war. So many people were killed and there was no happiness in anything, whatever he saw, that so many members of the families were left behind and a huge number of people on both sides, Kauravas and the Pandavas, they were killed in that war. So Vedavyasa is saying at that time that Kundi Devi had to go through all these things, is it not? Her own son Karna was killed and on this side, although Pandavas were victorious, it was back to, you can imagine how Kundi Devi must have felt inside. Karna and Arjuna fighting against each other. As a mother, from her point of view, it was a very difficult situation for Kundi Devi. And in relationship with Duryodhana and others also, Kundi Devi had a soft corner for them because after all, they weren't relatives to her, isn't they were related to her. And Gandhari's children. And Kundi Devi's distress was such that she realized that there is no point in keeping any attachment in this world. And that Vairagyam also, you can see from that distress what has happened in the Kundi Devi's prayers. What did Kundi Devi say to Krishna? Kundi Devi says to Krishna that break up my connection with the Pandavas. Break my connection with the Krishnis also. Isn't it? Vipadasandunashashval tatradatra jagalguru bhavado darshanam yasyad apunar bhavadarshanam. First, Kundi Devi says that. Then Kundi Devi also says to Krishna that dridam pandushu vrishnishu, I have attachment for the Pandavas, I have attachment for the Vrishnis also, please break both. You can see how distress has turned into Vairagyam there. In Kundi Devi's prayers, if you study seriously, you will notice that there. Is it not? If you look into, you will see there that verses. That Kundi says there, Vibhadasandunashashval tatra tatra jagal guru bhavado darshanam yasyal apunar bhavadarshanam janmaishyaja sureshivir edhaman vadapuman naivahat abhidhadum vai tvam akinchana gocharam. Those 3-4 verses, if you study, you will see there how Kundi Devi's mind she is revealing there. First she says that keep on giving me distress, she says to Krishna. This is coming from that realization, Kundi's realization. Keep giving me distress, she says. What will happen? Because what I am seeing here is, people are proud with their place of birth, janmam, and family, place of family they were born, aishwaryam, opulences, fame, and all their other qualities. Janmam, aishwarya, shudhi, shri bhi, edhaman, anadha, puman. All this only causes madam. Madam means proud, pride inside. It makes a person very proud. And naivahat abhidhadam vai tvam akinjana gocharam. One who is proud, for him Krishna is not accessible. Krishna is not accessible to one who is very proud. The same thing what Krishna is saying here. Anahangaram evacha. That one who is very proud, for him Krishna is not accessible. Kundi Devi says here, naivahat abhidhadam vai tvam akinjana gocharam. For akinchanas. Akinchana means one who has no pride inside. One who doesn't own anything. Who doesn't own anything in this world. If you don't own anything in this world, naturally you won't be any proud of anything, isn't it? And there's nothing to be proud of. Naturally that's the way it is. Because people become owners and wealthy people, become proprietors of so many things, they become proud out of it. That pride is completely goes away, Krishna, Kundi Devi says there. For them, those who have lost their pride, Krishna is accessible. They are called akinchanas. Akinchana means one who has no pride inside. Tvam akinchana gocharam. For them, they can understand you. They can know about you. Tvam akinchana gocharam. Naivahat abhidhadam vai tvam akinchana gocharam. So, akinchanatvam, that quality, Krishna says, is coming from this non-possessiveness, not possessing anything. Not even their own body. They don't think that they possess the body even. Even to that extent, they are surrendered to Krishna. So, then he says, Namo akinjana vitaya nivrta gunavurtaye alma ramaya shamdaya kaivalya padaye nama. That akinjanam, akinjanatvam, or this non-possessiveness is their wealth, he says. Akinjana vitaya nivrta gunavurtaye. Good thing about them is, they get very easily released from the modes of nature. Sattum rajasa tamasa. Nikrita gunavate. And then what is that? Atma ramaya shandaya. They are always situated in the platform of the soul. Atma ramas. They are completely absorbed in the soul and therefore there is shanti inside. Kaivalya padayama. Saying this, Kundi Devi paid her obeisances to Krishna. So if you study Kundistuti well in the Bhagavatam, particularly older people who have experienced life in this world and who have seen the distress of this life and who has experienced the distress of this life, for them Kundi Devi's prayers is the best example to show to us this is what has happened to Kundi Devi. Kundi Devi suffered heavily in life, is it not, what she went through. And then Kundi Devi ultimately came to this understanding, in all this distress what saved her was that every time there was distress, Krishna was there. And Kundi Devi understood that only because of that distress Krishna has come. And otherwise Krishna would not have been approachable for Kundi Devi. Krishna would not have taken notice of Kundi Devi. This is what Kundi Devi's realization is. Only because of my distress condition that Krishna has come to help. And therefore I started realizing the truth. Kundi Devi says that in the story form when it is spoken it is like that, but in the philosophical level, it is like this. Distress is directly related with self-realization, in other words. So, after saying all this, you can see through the whole, we are not going to Kundistuti completely now, because that will take a lot of time. But eventually, Krishna, Kundi Devi says like this, that, Bhavesmin Krishyamananam Avidya Kama Karma Bhi Shravana smaranarhani karishya nidike janam bhavesmin krishyamananam. That our difficulty is avidya kama karma bhi. Because of ajnanam or avidya inside, all sorts of desires are developing inside, and due to that desires I engage in all kinds of activities in this world. This is how our karma started. Karma means bondage. Bondage started in this way, avidya kama karma bhi. And because of remembrance of you, Kundi Devi says to Krishna, Shravana smaranarhani. It is only for those who are caught up in this cycle of karma, for their benefit, you have performed all these pastimes in this world. Shravanam smaranarhani. So that they can hear about you and they can also remember about you. Karishyani di kejana. Only for that sake you have appeared. So here he says, and there you will notice that saying all these things, Kunti Devi paid her obeisances to Krishna. So there And finally, first of all, Kunti Devi had distress, and distress helped her to get closer to Krishna. She started recognizing that the access to Krishna is through distress. That everybody acknowledges that, all the great devotees, all the great jnanis who had realized the truth, they have all recognized this point. And that distress has turned into detachment, renunciation from this world. Not hating the world, it is different. Not hating the world. To see that distress is there in all these things. It's not happiness. When you realize that there is happiness in the world, that is the influence of Maya. Maya makes us feel like that there is happiness in this world. Kunti Devi recognized there is distress in the world. That shows her freedom from that Maya's influence. And after recognizing that detachment has come from the world, Vairagyam, and that is developed into bhakti. So after saying all these things, Kunti Devi says to Krishna that Atha Vishvesha Vishwalman Vishwamurte Swayam Sneha Pashamimam Chindi Vridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. That is Vairagyam. This is all Kunti Devi asked to Krishna. Atha Vishvesha Vishwalman. Kunti Devi says to Krishna, you are a Visheshwara, Vishwalman, the soul of everyone. The Vishwalman means the soul of everybody. Atha Vishvesha Vishwalman, you are the controller of the whole creation and you are also the soul of everyone. Vishwamurte Swakeshwamim, that we are under your control, we are not independent. And then he says, Sneha Bhasha Mimam Chindhi, I have only one problem. I have this attachment to Pandavas and also to the Varshinis. Please cut this. She says, that is the effect of that Vairagyam. You can see how Vairagyam has manifested in Kunti Devi. This is what we should study. That is why for anyone who comes to spiritual life, why Vedavyas put this Kunti Stuti first? For this reason, that without Vairagyam, there is no point in discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. Without Vairagyam, Jnanam won't happen. Without Vairagyam, Bhakti won't happen. Vairagyam is very much a key for the advancement of spiritual life. Therefore, that is the reason why you can see that progress happening in Kunti Devi's statement itself. First she says, give me distress. From distress, I have an access to you, to Krishna. And when I have an access to you, Kunti Devi says to her, says to Krishna that, I am feeling now that you are the wealth of those who don't possess anything. That means who are completely detached from the world. You are their wealth. And to stay in that state, I need to be disconnected from this world. As I mentioned before, this whole Mahabharatam comes to Bhagavatam here, isn't it? This is how Mahabharatam comes to Bhagavatam. When Mahabharatam comes to Bhagavatam, the state, where up to this point it was all about the story of Parikshit and then the Shuka Brahmarshi's arrival and everything. Suddenly you can see Vedavyasa switched to Mahabharatam here in the Bhagavatam. He switched on to Mahabharatam. Why? Because in order to bring this personality one after the other from the Mahabharatam, starting from Kunti Devi, then Bhishma and others, so forth. So when Kunti Devi had to come, Kunti Devi's background is this, that distress, distress and distress all through their life. There was not one day Kunti Devi had a happy time in life. Ever since Karna was conceived, from then on it was misery all through their life. That mother had gone through so much distress in life that Krishna was always thinking about Kunti Devi. Kunti Devi's welfare, more than anyone else. It is because of Kunti Devi's children
Krishna cared for the Pandavas. That was that relationship. Even for Arjuna, Yudhishthira and others, Krishna cared for them because of Kunti Devi. That was that, such a close relationship with Krishna. And on the other hand, although it was like this, Kunti Devi does not want anything to do with this world anymore, after experiencing the distress of this world. After saying all that, Kunti Devi finally chanted the holy name and paid obeisances to Krishna. Shri Krishna Krishna, Shri Krishna Krishna Sakha, Vishabhava Nidruk, Rajanya Vamsharahana Anabavarga Virya, Govinda, Godduja Surarti Haravadara, Yogeshwara, Akhila Guru, Bhagavan, Namaste. Saying this, Kunti Devi paid her obeisances to Krishna. So you can see from the Bhagavadam how Mahabharatam has come into Bhagavadam. And then it is because of this Kunti Devi who all got benefited in the Bhagavadam. Draupadi learned from Kunti Devi. Is it not? Uttara Devi learned from Kunti Devi. And Uttara Devi surrendered to Krishna when Parikshit was burned by Ashwatthama's Brahmastram. Uttara Devi paid her obeisances to Krishna. And at that time Krishna smiled, seeing the influence of Kunti Devi on Uttara Devi and others. This is how much influence a person can be on others, especially personality like Kunti Devi. So, all those things in the Bhagavadam is to take notice of. Why? Anahangaram evacha. Kunti Devi was freedom from that ego inside, freedom from false ego. So, you can see here, one has to see the distress in this world. That is the most important thing. To see the distress in this world. There is distress here. And not to think that everything is happiness here. Happiness here. So, even to children also, this is one thing to be reminded to them all the time, that if they are intelligent, they will realize this in life. That that the reason why you are working in this world, earning money, all these things are for just for living in this world. There is nothing more important than that. And not that you are living in this world to work and earn. To work and earn. That, to know that, to learn this, you have to look at the animals. They are our teachers in this. They only work to live in this world, isn't it? We are the only species who do the opposite, is it not? The animals, they just satisfied with what they get during the day. Whatever they want to eat something, they'll hunt and get the food, what they want, and then they go and peacefully rest. They don't give trouble to anyone. We are the only one who never gets satisfied by unlimited desires inside, isn't it? So therefore, to children also, we have to keep repeatedly saying this, because in this modern way of life, it's very much a part of that, isn't it? Work and work and work. And this situation, otherwise this Vivekam, what Kunti Devi talking about, that discrimination won't happen inside. The problem is that this disease is all over now. This is the greatest problem. If a train is going, and if one person falls from the train, you can somehow do something about it. But if the whole train falls, derails and gets into problem, what can you do? The society is like that. The whole society is going in that direction, isn't it? To work, 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 work. The whole philosophy is based on this. And when it is like that, it is very difficult for one person to jump out of that. It is pretty hard for them to do that. So, so only one who has some discrimination will jump out of that train which is going in this way. Somebody who has got some discrimination will jump out of that. And he has to make up his mind that I am to be satisfied with this much in life. I don't want to keep increasing my desires and trying to develop. Economic development is not the answer to the problems. So it is only because of this you can see that we have destroyed this whole world because of this mentality. that we have to exploit the material nature. So many continents all over the world, if you look, you can see how the rivers are drying up, the mountains have become practically without any forests, and whole nature we have destroyed in the name of this so-called development, isn't it? So, because we work more than what is necessary, that is what is causing the so much disturbances in this world as well. In the material nature, if you look, no species works except for the food. Except for the food, they don't work. And we are the only one who work for the sake of our pride. For the sake of pride, what they call us vanity, isn't it? And because of this working for the vanity alone, we will destroy ourselves. So working hard is not Bhagavad Gita Siddhantam. That is the important thing to remember. That Krishna mentions there, that if it is unavoidable, Krishna says, that is how Krishna puts it. If it is unavoidable, do some work in this world. And if you are working, do that work without any attachment. This is Krishna's instructions to Arjuna. If you don't have to work, don't work, Krishna says. But if you have to work, work with this understanding that not to feel any kartrutva bhoktrutva. I am the doer or I am the enjoyer in that way. So, Naishkarmya Siddhi, Krishna calls it as Naishkarmya Siddhi. Spoken about that in the 3rd chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Also in the 18th chapter, Krishna will talk about it again. You can see here in this world that most of us who come here have come with certain desires. That's why we are here, isn't it? So, it is also difficult to say that without working can someone live in this world. So, when we have brought this human body, when we have brought this body here, certain things are already planned that this body has to experience through here. And that only that you should do. One should do that much. And that one has to know that where that desires gets filled up or vasanas get exhausted in that way. And how should that be done? Nishkama, Krishna says, without any expectation of results or attachment, it should be executed. And in other words, from our work, we should not create another work. That is the principle. That karma should not create another karma vasana again. And if you are creating, that means that karma is not finished. If you remember, we discussed this in the 3rd chapter. When do you say a karma has come, action has come to finish? Action finishes only if it does not create another impression inside. Every karma in this world creates karma vasana. Is it not? You know that. Karma creates karma vasana. Suppose you engage any kind of karma, action in this world, it will create another karma vasana from that you want to engage in. And that vasana will get thickened and then you'll again go and do some other work because of that. That vasana will grow. So, if karma is performed without any kartrutva bhoktrutva or doer and enjoyer, I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer, if it's not there, the karma will finish and come to an end and the vasanas will go from inside. That will create a fresh vasana again. In that case, you can say the karma is over. Otherwise, karma is not over. Normally, what do we say? Suppose we have taken up some job and we think that the job is done, karma is over. According to Bhagavad Gita, karma is not over yet. It is going to create further vasanas inside and then you are going to create another body later. Therefore, karma is not finished. So, whatever karma is done, if it comes to nishkama karma or nishkarma siddhi, if it comes to that, you can say that karma is finished. Otherwise, not. So, that is the subtle side of that karma. So, so let the work remain as work only, nothing more than that, not to give more importance to that than that. Somehow to live in this world, something has to be done. So when a person makes up his mind in that way, he will have time for other things. You can see modern day, most of the young men, they don't have time, isn't it? They don't have time. So, those who have got some sense and those who can think about this, they will realize very soon that this is an endless situation, what they are caught up with. As soon as they enter into the job, they can find that easily. So quite often you will hear this from the young people, that we haven't got time, we haven't got time. Especially in various professions in this world, if you look, you will see from early hours in the morning, late in the evenings, they are working. From say 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, right up to 10, 11 in the night. And after that, there is no time for anything. After that, there is no time for anything. So, so these things, to look at these things and to develop that vairagya inside. This cannot be the reality, isn't it? This way, what the world is detecting to us, that I have to work so many hours in a day to maintain this body, which is not me, which is not mine either, and I am forced to work like an ass to maintain this body for so many hours, shows that there is something seriously wrong somewhere. That is why this is happening, isn't it? So, an intelligent person should think this and make up his own mind. Society is not going to do that for you. The individual alone has to do it. Nobody else can do that for us. So the individual has to make up his mind. He has to first realize this, I am not this body. And body has come to me and the body will go one day, which you can see by your own, if you have a little analytical nature. And knowing very well, for this body, or maintaining this body, if I have to work for this 12, 14 hours a day, doesn't seem to be right. In there itself, Krishna is saying, dukkha doshana darshanam. There you should see the distress of the life. Distress of the life. And seeing that, you should develop that proper discrimination inside. So distress must come. What will happen is, if one gets caught up in this, after a while, you will not want any spiritual life anymore. All those things will go away from inside. Very often you can see people are working very hard for a long period of time. When you talk to them about spiritual life, they find it very hard to listen to it. Reason is this, that they've already lost it. It's very difficult to develop any spirituality in them. And very often you will see they've got some sickness by working for so many hours throughout their life, isn't it? And the mind is also very disturbed in that way. The only thing is, father, mother feels very happy about them. My son is very working very hard and feeling very settled about this. He says he is very settled, he says. Parents are saying, this is what settlement means, that he is working like an ass whole night. Mahabali mentioned this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says there, mother or father doesn't do anything good to the children. Anything good to the children. Because they don't know what is good for the children. They don't know what is good for the children. And what normally the parents do is, they take the children in the same way what the whole society is doing. In the same way they will take them also. Isn't it? And by chance, if the child shows some interest to chant the holy name or going for Bhagavad Gita class or anything, parents get concerned, something happening to him. They say like that, is it not? So, and then they'll tell him, no, don't go, do your homework, they'll say. Homework is more important than all this satsangam and all that. They say to him like that. This is happening all the time. Homework, everywhere homework is going on. Enough work at the school and after that homework also. So there is that. So, and making them to do this homework day after day after day, that he will do this homework whole school days, and finally to work he goes to America to work. After doing this, because he has to find somewhere where he can work like the way he worked in the school and college, and that's the right place to go, where you can work 24 hours a day, isn't it? So this is the society what we have today to face, live with, isn't it? And so these things you can notice in the life with all of us, we have to recognize this fact that that this is finally ends up in all distress. Finally ends up in all distress. So, only thing we are discussing things what is happening in the society today. What's happening in the society. We are not doing things, saying all these things, thinking that the whole country is going to change or people are going to change. And or thinking that everything is going to get better. No. But if one person or two person realize this, and if they have got that discrimination to know and accept this understanding properly, then he may be able to escape from here, from this mess. So the reality is that you have to live in this world, and for living you have to work in this world. And to work and to earn is necessary, but if you remember in the Bhajagovindam prayers, Acharya Swami mentions there that with this material body, karmobhatam vittam tena vinodaya chittam, he said. That karmobhatam, karmam, what we have accumulated will come through this body, whatever nature it has to come through. And but vittam tena vinodaya chittam. As soon as that karmam happens and money starts coming, lot of wealth is coming, you become infatuated with that. Oh, money making, such a nice thing. And feeling attracted by that, that is dangerous. That is very dangerous, because if you fall into that trap of this making money as the whole purpose of life, then you will get caught up in the karma. That is what it says here. So it is because of that, because they got attracted to the money side of it, attracted to the wealth side of it, there is no time to engage in spiritual life. This is because of that. No time for chanting, no time for meditation, nothing. So, sometimes ago, this happened that in a very old Brahmana, he was speaking, and some other Brahmanas who were in the class, they have lost all their habits. The Brahmins have lost all their habits. For Brahmanas, Sandhyavandanam is important. Sandhyavandanam means morning, midday and evening, they are supposed to bathe and perform Gayatri, chant Gayatri, and there are other karma associated with that. So most of the Brahmanas have lost it because of this influence of the modern way of life. So they managed to find a very old Brahmana who had been doing this all through their life. So they arranged the course for them, brought him there and told him to speak about Sandhyavandanam, and told him that you should conduct a camp and for them how to do Sandhyavandanam, because at the old age they start feeling that they wasted their life. Everybody feels that at the end, isn't it? So he said, I'll come for that. He said, I'll come and talk to you about Sandhyavandanam. But when he started talking, the first thing he said was, I will teach you about Sandhyavandanam, how it should be done, because there is a lot of mantras to be chanted and it takes time, all the three times a day to do that. But have you got the time, he said. These people are all working. So he said, I'm not going to go further, we'll stop it here, he said, and he went back. What's the point in wasting time when people don't have the time to do it? It's just like they thought there's another camp or a course they will run about Sandhyavandanam, and maybe it will help, they thought. But the reality is this, that they are not willing to give up their so-called working business. And therefore there was no hope. And they finished their work at 11-12 in the night, and they will sleep whole morning before they get up. And when it is like that, all the three times of the Sandhya times, that means in the morning when the sun rising, lunchtime, and in the evening when the sun is setting, all the three Sandhyas, they are in the office. So what will you do? How will you do the Sandhyavandanam? So what is the treatment? There is no treatment for that problem. There is no solution to the problem. So only one or two, whoever takes this seriously, he can escape. That's all, you can talk about it. So this is the important point Krishna mentions here, that even attachment to the world, if it gets attachment to the money, attachment to the family and all that, if it encroaches your spiritual life, if you know that it has to be checked at that point, then you can do something about it. Otherwise, it is not possible. So, one or two persons may develop that strength from that. And in for such people, knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita will help. And otherwise, it is not possible. It is no point in organizing huge groups and conducting big resolutions and committees and meetings and all that. And that way it will not happen. No revolution will happen. So every time, this is the way it works. There is silent revolution. Through some individual who got this message properly, and through that individuals it has to happen. He will escape. We have examples like that, isn't it? Many, many personalities like that who have, in their own peak of their life, they gave up everything and walked out from there and managed to free themselves from the situation in this world. So, anyway, as far as self-realization is concerned, this things are spoken only because in reality the world itself is not a truth. First thing, world itself is not a truth. So, but for those who wants to find out the truth, it is only for their benefit it is spoken. It is not spoken with the idea that the world is going to change. Because for a Vedantist, the world itself is not real. World itself is not real. And for a world that itself is not real, it's no point in trying to improve the world. Why it is spoken then? Because if you are spoken these things, it is possible that one or two persons may look for escaping from the situation and find to realize the truth. It's only for their benefit all these things are spoken. So, individually, each one of us has to look for that realization of the self. That is why when Krishna is saying here, dukkha doshanu darshanam, he says there, isn't it, in that verse. So, why does he say like that, dukkha doshanu darshanam? Means that everyone individually, in order to find their path, he has to see what is causing the problem. That means in order to find his own path, he has to find the distress in all the other things, what is not his path. So, if he has not done that, he will not be able to get fixed in his path. This is the difficulty. Suppose you have taken the process of jnana-margam, process of knowledge, or through the process of bhakti. In order to get established in that path, you have to find distress in all the other sides of life. Otherwise, it's not possible. You won't become fixed in your path. This is why it is spoken like that. Otherwise, which way the world goes, it doesn't matter to the Vedantist. As far as he is concerned, the world itself is not real. You have to remember this. Why it is important? For example, if you look into Upanishads, Maitreya asked Yajnavalkya Maharshi this question, where did this earth come from? Earth came from the water. He said, earth came from the water. Where did the water come from? Water came from the fire, he said. Where did the fire come from? Yajnavalkya says to Maitreya, it came from the air. Then Maitreya asked, where did the air come from? Air came from the sky. Yajnavalkya said, air came from the sky. Then Maitreya asked, where did the sky come from? Yajnavalkya said to her, don't ask that question anymore, he said. Where did the sky come from? Where did the sky come from? Sky is space, isn't it? Sky is space. Who is experiencing this space? The self. Is it not? Here, you have to move away from this process of analyzing from this, from the experience to the experiencer, who is experiencing it. So, and it is in his experience the space exists. It is in the experience of the self the world exists. Is it not? So, space is not important. The person who is experiencing the space is important. And there finishes the chapter. It finishes there. So, in his experience, in the person's experience, the space exists. And that varies from one person to another. The space, what you experience, what I experience, what somebody else experiences, is all different. Isn't it? So, space is not something, this is where the question finishes. After that, you can't ask any question. Yajnavalkya says to Maitreyi, your question full stop, now you can't ask any more. Because it finishes with the space, it is in the space, all these things are happening, you are caught up in that space. When you move away from the space to the experiencer who is experiencing the space, then you know that space is not important. Similarly for Vedantam, space is not important. World is not important. What is important is the self, and realizing the self is more important. It is from that point of view that Vedantam completely rejects the reality of this world. Reality of this world. So here you can see that that if you do not see this fault in the world, that there is distress here, he will not be able to get fixed up in his spiritual path. In his spiritual path. That is why Upanishad says Dosheika Drik. Dosheika Drik means one who sees fault in this creation. One who sees fault in this creation. Krishna also tells us the same thing, isn't it? Anityam Asukham Lokam Imam Prapya Bhajaswamam. He says to us, this is temporary and this is full of miseries, and come out of it. That's Krishna's words. So the manufacturer himself is telling us the defect. There's a manufacturing defect here. And if we don't take it seriously, it is not possible to advance on the path of spiritual life. Only if it is done like that, that all our external activities, if we withdraw from there, only then the mind will turn inward looking. Antarmukhatvam will happen to a person and he will become firmly established in the truth inside. Otherwise it is not possible. The realization of the self inside, because self is the truth inside, isn't it? So, dosha drishtya mahur moho. In the Viveka Chudamani you will see this. There is a verse for a person who is advancing on the path of spiritual life, what is important for him is this thing that says that virajyam vishayam vradar dosha drishtya muhur muhum. So lakshe nedavastha manasa shamauchyade. Shamam, there is a qualification called shamam. It is the talking about shamam. Shamam means how the mind become calm, calmness inside. It's talking about, in the Ajahn Swami mentioned this in the Veda Shudama. He says, virajya vishaya vrada dosha drishtya muhur muho. That in order to get the mind focused on the truth, repeatedly you have to see dosha drishti. Dosha drishti means finding fault in this world. You should not keep saying everything is fine in this world. If you say that, you won't find any fault here. Everything is wonderful, you will say here. So when somebody asks you, how are you? You should not say fine. You should say the opposite thing. It's the opposite, the reality. Or you can say to please him that everything is fine, but inside you should know that it's not fine. If you say it's fine, you are not good for spiritual life. That is a simple thing. Krishna is saying this, Ajahn Swami also says the same thing. It's all just a cover-up, isn't it? What we put in front of the world, oh, everything is wonderful, I'm happy, family is happy, society is happy, everything is going very well. Job is there, mortgage all been paid off. All these kind of silly things we take importance with. Krishna is saying this here, that dosha drishtya muhur muhu, he says, again and again, see this in this world, then there is distress here. That is what Krishna says. Ajahn Swami also mentions that. He says, virajya vishayas brada, dosha drishtya muhur muhu. Dosha drishtya muhur muhu. Again and again, dosha drishtya muhur muhu. Dosha drishti. Dosha drishti means, this is a quality that one has to develop within. One has to develop within. Dosha drishti. Muhur muhu. Again and again. If you develop that quality, Krishna says here, it says here, that after having detached from the manifold sense object, by observing the defects, then this quality is called shamam. It is called shamam. It's called shamam. Shamam, dhamam, tidiksha, ubaradi, shraddha, samadhanam. Six things necessary for advancing in spiritual life. So, out of that, shamam is this one thing. That virajya vishayavrada dosha drishtya muhur muhu. Again and again, analyzing the life in this world, when you hear so many sad things happening in this world, you should have that dosha drishti to see. Not to think that, oh, it's not bothering me, it's happening somewhere else, why should I worry about it? That is not the understanding. That's not the understanding. Dosha drishtya muhur muhu, he says like this. So, in other words, again and again, this mind, which takes us outward towards the world, and knowing very well that wherever the mind is going, there is distress there. That's where the mind is going there. And bringing the mind back from that and asking the mind to stay in its own place. And that is why Krishna mentions that last two lines. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. Because these four things is a little bit on the high side, what Krishna has spoken there, isn't it? Janma, that means birth itself, Krishna says, is distress. Death is distress. Old age is distress. And disease is distress, isn't it? So, initially, small things Krishna has spoken. But these four things, why Krishna mentions there is, ultimately, Arjuna, there is no solution to this problem. Atyandiya dosha darshanam, it's called. Atyandiya means that you can't escape from this. Under no circumstances, you can escape from this four. Other things, probably you may be able to do some tweak a little bit here and there and find some solution. Little bit. But these four things, ultimately Krishna says you have no escape, and from this you should know that there is not possible here any happiness. When these four things are there. Which one? Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. Dukkha doshana darshana. That's why Krishna picked up on those four. He didn't say anything else. But because these four things, there is no solution to that. Therefore he says like this. That. So, these things, we should see ourselves directly with our eyes in this world, and we should get frightened about it. We should get frightened about it. Bhartrihari says this in the Vairagya Shatakam, 100 verses, what Bhartrihari has spoken. He mentions this there, that he says like that, the people in this world has amazing courage, he says. He says they've got amazing courage. Because where you have to be frightened about, they are not frightened. Where you have to be frightened about, they are not frightened. And Adityasya Gadagade Harahara Sankshiyade Jividam Vyabhare Bhukaya Bhara Gurubhi Kalobhyana Nyayate Drishtva Janma Jara Vipatti Maranam Trashascha Notpadyade Pitva Mohamayim Pramada Madhira Unmatta Bhudam Jagat. This is a verse from the Bhartrihari's Vairagya Shatakam. Bhartrihari wrote these 100 verses. Bhartrihari was a very famous personality in Vikramaditya's assembly. He wrote this 100 verses of Vairagya Shatakam, and that became a very important document for those who study Vedanta. They take it very seriously, that book, Vairagya Shatakam. If you read through, you will enjoy it actually. He mentions there that that Adityasa Gadagadir Aharaha Samshiyade Jividam. Every morning sun is rising and evening sun sets, and the time is lost in that process, isn't it? Running here, running there, doing this, doing that. And we think we are living a very good life here in this world, isn't it? We think we have a good life here. Earning money, we have built our house, we have done everything, as the society is telling us, we have done everything. Got wife, children, they got educated, they got married, got grandchildren. Now what more? Perfection of life, isn't it? So that is what Bhartrihari is making fun of all these people. He says that Vyapare Bahudarya Bhara Gurubhi. He has got so many business in this world because he is so absorbed in all these things. Bahukaryam, so many business he has got to do. Getting them married, having grandchildren, getting them married. Like this a few generations, settling them down here. This is main occupation. Vyapare Bahukarya Gaya Gurubhi Kalopyana Knyayate. Only thing what he does not know, that in that process the time is running out. He doesn't have a lot of time left. Drishtva Jnana Jara Vibhakti Maranam. Whatever Krishna has spoken, exactly the same thing Bhartrihari says here. Drishtva, he is not saying what? Janma Jara Vibhakti Maranam. Birth, death, old age and disease, he is not seeing there. Trashascha Nopadhyade. Watching this birth, aging, suffering and death, he is not feeling any distress. No distress is felt. For the world has become insane, he says. They are not able to recognize any of these problems. And is he not saying the truth when he is saying this? He says, Pitva mohamayim pramada madira unmatta budham jagat, he says. All these people are actually drunk, he says. They are intoxicated. Intoxicated with the Pitva mohamayim pramada madira. Madira means alcohol. And due to drinking this alcohol, they are all intoxicated. What kind of alcohol? Moham. Moham means illusion. Of thinking that they are all happy in this world. What an experience this is. Without thinking about birth or death or old age or disease, they are busy with all other hundreds of things in this world, and they are caught up in all that thing, and they think life is wonderful. And they don't have any time to reflect on these four major issues. What Krishna says, and what Bhartrihari also says the same thing, birth, death, old age and disease. And they have become insane by drinking this intoxicating wine, he says, of this infatuation with the world. Infatuation with the world. So here, Budham Jagat, he says, so there is a bridge across the river, and on either side of the bridge, while walking on the bridge, to hold on, they have constructed one small wall on either side. So one person, he is walking on top of that wall that has been built, just explained himself. And another person is seeing that, and he told him that any moment you can fall into the river. He says, I'm not going to jump into the river, I'm just walking on top of this thing, what is built there. So few others who saw that, they pulled him and brought him out, fearing that he may fall into the river. Because what is the reason? Reason is this, that some understanding he has in his life. You can see people doing all sorts of things in this world, isn't it? Knowing very well there is danger, they'll go and jump into it. And they think that they are doing something amazing in this world, or to impress someone, that they are taking all kinds of risks with their vasanas inside are so powerful that is driving them to do that. That here Bhartrihari is saying like this, that these people are like that, he said. who are walking on this bridge and they are not willing to listen on the top of, or walking on the wall, on the top of the wall, who don't want to listen, that something has gone into their head. That is why they are becoming so busy with life in this world, in this way, particularly with the family and children and all that, to such an extent that they are infatuated with that because of this, that something has gone inside, he said. Otherwise, Bhattacharya's question is, how on earth can one be not to take notice of these four things, birth, death, old age and disease? And he mentions there that sun rises, sun sets, and our lifespan is also running out very soon. Just like there's a huge pot of water and there's a hole in the water, in the pot, the water is continuously leaking from there. Exactly in the same way, our lifespan is running out. So, drishtva janmam, drishtva janma jara vipatti maranam trashaschano padyade. In that way it is running out, that he is seeing birth, death, old age and disease all the time, and he is not frightened about it. He is not frightened about it. Tasastha notpadyade. What is the reason, he says? Because he has drunk, he is intoxicated with this alcohol called ignorance. And he is intoxicated, and therefore how he is going to find any peace in life, or and where is he going to be happy any time after? So here Krishna has spoken only about these four things. Particularly he has spoken, isn't it? Birth, death, old age and disease, he has specifically mentioned here. Because it is seeing these four things that Siddhartha became affected. These four things. If you look at Buddha's history, if you read Buddhist Sutta, Buddha's prayers is based on only these four things. Birth, death, old age and disease. Remember this? We've spoken many times before. So, at his home, wife is pregnant, and what did the name they gave it to him? The child was born Rahula. Rahul. Rahul was the name given to the child. And he got frightened because the word Rahul, if you look at that, what does that mean? But it means that this planet Rahu is ready to capture you. Rahu planet has got this capacity that, if you remember, he wanted to become deathless, isn't it? So after churning the milk ocean, in that story, Rahu tried to steal the nectar, and it was noted by some of the Devata demigods and informed Mohini Murti that Rahu is doing this, and Rahu was punished for that. So Rahu's job, that is. So Rahu, that is how this name Rahul has come. And on another side, Buddha also saw this, that old age and disease. Old age and disease. He saw a dead body being carried away. Dead body being carried away for burning. He saw that. Buddha has seen that. So, and he also saw something else. What was that? When the dead body was taken to the crematorium or to wherever it was going to be burned, he saw a sage sitting there who was completely unaffected by that. This inspired Buddha. Buddha saw that people were following this dead body, and they were, some of them were weeping and some of them were expressing their grief, everything. But he also saw one sage there on the way who was not affected by that. So he says here that who is called as the Atmarama state, isn't it? In other words, so how, when all this distress is there in life, how will I experience shanti, peace in this world? And he wanted to find out. That is how Buddha's inquiry began. Just like we talked about Kunji Devi, you can see in Buddha's case also not different, isn't it? Buddha became very distressed by seeing this. That experience of the distress in life woke up inside Buddha's heart, and Buddha began the inquiry at that point. Buddha began the inquiry at that point. So this problem, four problems, birth, death, old age and disease has inspired many great personalities in life to think deeper in life, about life. That is what it has done. Whether it is Lord Buddha, whether it is Kunti Devi and several others also, many, many people there who have got that depth of understanding, they were inspired to think by seeing this, experiencing this in their own life, in their own life. And as we said many times before, Krishna mentions there, that if these distress, if you do not free yourself now, it is sure that you have another life going to happen. If you do not free from it now itself. That means before the death happens, you have to become free from them. Before the body leaves you, you have to get freedom from the body. That's what it means. Before the body leaves us, you have to get the freedom from the body. The reason is this, that the fact remains that permanently we cannot have any relationship with anybody in this world. This is the truth. Permanently, you can't have any relationship with anyone in this world. If you remember in Ramayanam, this story comes between Bharata and Ramachandra. Bharata says to Ramachandra that you are my eldest brother. You are my eldest brother. How can I live in this world without you? Bharata is talking to Ramachandra. This is what he mentioned to him when Ramachandra left Ayodhya and went to the forest. And Bharata followed later. So when Bharata went to see him, Ramachandra asked him, why did you come? You should have stayed in Ayodhya, looked after Dasharatha and administered the kingdom. There was no need for you to come. Ramachandra didn't welcome him to the forest. This was the reality, what happened. So Bharata thought, because of his bhakti, he mentions there, that how can I live without you? That Ramachandra thinks at that time, this is the right opportunity to talk to him the truth. And he says to him, Rama says to Bharata like this, my dear brother, what relationship do I have with you? A brother is asking. That opened Bharata's eyes. We are all thinking we have so much connection with everybody, each other in this world, is it not? But Ramachandra opened Bharata's eyes, saying to him like this, what connection do I have with you? He says to him. Bharata says to him, why do you say like that to me? He says. So, I have never had a brother like you before. I never seen. You are so nice, kind to me, and such a nice brother. And are you telling me that we have no connections? Bharata says to Ramachandra. Ramachandra says to Bharata, that look at this Sarayu river flowing there. Keep looking at it, he says. So there was a piece of straw coming. Another piece of straw was coming parallel to that. They come together for some time and they go together for some time. Afterwards, again, they separate and they go in two different directions. This is the connection between you and me, he says. Ramachandra says to Bharata, this is our all connection in this. This is how serious this whole connection is in this world with others. Whether it is husband, wife, father and son, mother and son, all these connections, this is how serious life is, this business is. So for some time, when you see them in the water, they are going together, isn't it? These two pieces of straw, they are going together for a small period of time. And when you see that, you think as though they are together forever. So, and when the water current became very strong, both of them gone in their own directions. And afterwards, never seen again together. This is our relationship, Ramachandra says to him. Only thing is, Ramachandra putting in nice Sanskrit words to him, says like this, Yatha kashtam cha kashtam cha, same yadam harnave, same tijavebe yadam kalam asadhya kanchana. This was Ramachandra's words in the Yoga Vasishtam. He says, Yatha kashtam cha kashtam cha. Kashtam means this straw. And how they are to, same yadam harnave. Some time has come that they are to come together. And it flew for some time, maharnave, same tijavebe yadam. When the time was over, they go in there, kalam asadhya kanchana. And time plays its role and you are gone with that. This is our so-called family, what we have given so much importance to in life, isn't it? So, this is the connection between you and me. Ramchandra put it like this to Bharata. This is all the connection between you and me. So, don't think about me and feel distressed about it. And whether I went to the forest, I leave my body here, or I live here, don't get disturbed over it. Because think about yourself, he said. Think about yourself, Ramchandra says to Bharata. Atmanam anushyetum kimanyam imattum anishochasi. He says, you should think about yourself and don't think about others. You can't say this in the world today, can you? People will say, oh, so selfish you are. Is it not? People will say like that. That is the world. That is ajnanam. It's called avidya. Avidya is like this. World is nothing but avidya. Avidya will tell us, oh, don't think like that. Ramchandra is saying this, that Ramchandra says to him, to Bharata, that don't think about others and get distressed over it. Think about yourself and get distressed, he says. Very difficult thing to get this point across to many people's mind, is it not? So, you will notice this, that this principle all the jnanis have upheld all the time. They didn't bother about the world. They followed Shastra. That is their strength. Shastram says this, think about yourself, don't think about the world. Think about the world. Thinking about the world means ajnanam inside. Ajnanam inside. When you are deeply absorbed in the world, you start thinking world is so real that it is my responsibility to get this place sorted. But Ramchandra is saying to Bharata that that Atmanam anishochattvam kim anyam anishochasi. Only think about your soul, where is its destination. That is more important than what's going to happen to this rest of the world. In America, when Swami Ramatirtha went there, one person, he was lying, there's a famous river in California called Sacramento River. So Ramatirtha was a realized soul. From a very early days in life, he happened to go to Japan, and from there somebody sent him to America. He was not bothered whether it is India, Japan or America. It didn't matter to him. Wherever he is what he is. Always stay fixed in that state of realization. So on the banks of this river, Sacramento River, he was lying down and with one leg on top of the other leg. He was fully relaxed. He was lying like that. Say, so someone who was walking along that way, some American gentleman, he comes up to him, seeing that he is so relaxed in life. Normally, America means busy always, isn't it? You have to be on the move all the time, 24 hours. If you're not on the move, there's something wrong with you. That's how they're saying. In the Bhagavatam, you will also see a similar personality, who the Dattatreya Maharshi. He was completely relaxed about it and he's lying there, and Yadu Maharaja going asking him, how come you are like this, he says to him. So Yadu asked the same question this person asked to Ramatirtha, to Swami Ramatirtha, says to him, but he put it in a different way. He says to him, you can read this in his own, in the woods of self-realization, if you look, you will see there. He says here, why do you import your Asiatic laziness to America, he says. That's how you could say. You Asians, you don't want to work. You want to be lazy. You are lazy people. You don't want to do anything. Why do you are importing that here or bringing it here? So he says to him. So why don't you show some pity to the world? He says to him. Why don't you show some pity to the world? So Ramchandra's reply is very interesting. He says to him, he says, my dear friend, this showing pity is concerned. Is not that a business already overcrowded in the whole world? He says, show pity to yourself, he said. To him, what else can you say when someone, he is completely carried away by this concept that by me, I have to change this world. And in that process, he is losing his own time and energy, what Krishna has given to him to realize the truth. Leaving all that behind in the process of changing the world and correcting the world, he says to him that that business of this showing pity into this world is already overcrowded, he said. Is it not overcrowded, he said. That is why definitely delivering spiritual knowledge to people is a higher engagement than food distribution or opening hospitals, all these things. They are only temporary solution to the problem. Permanent solution is to give them the spiritual knowledge and self-realization. That is the actual solution to the problem. You can see sometimes in our own society also, this issue becomes very contentious, isn't it? We say we have to give prasadam, we have to open hospitals, we have to do so many other institutions also do, and we think that human welfare activities are necessary. We don't completely write it off. A person who is hungry must have food. There's no question about that. But in that process, if the message is lost, then what is the point? If you don't deliver the message to the people, that these are not the solutions to the problem. Problem is self-realization. That is the solution to the problem. So that's why it's here. As long as there is ajnanam, ignorance, avidya inside, that all these things will happen. Therefore, this envy, anger, and from there all other problems come, is that not to be treated. So, otherwise, what will happen is, when we have all these base qualities inside us, based on the modes of nature, the lower qualities, that means anger, lust, greed, envy, and the six kinds, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madham, illusion, malsaryam, competition and all that. With all these bad qualities inside, if I try to correct the world, what will happen is, you will be polluting the world. That's what actually we are doing. When you think that, you can see that clearly if you look at this world, that people who are trying to go for solving problems in other places, sending the army, sending the medical supplies, sending the humanitarian welfare work, they themselves have a lot of these bad things in them. And when they go and try to change the situation, finally what comes out from that? No solution to the problem. It continues again year after year after year. You will, if you clearly look at the world, you will notice this. Whatever we do in the form of human welfare activity in this world, we send troops to some places, some countries, isn't it? Some countries send medical supplies and all sorts of welfare activities to the people. They do all that. And find the problem doesn't come to an end. It goes on and on and on. As soon as they come back, there's another fight. And there's another supply. Another fight. Another supply goes one after the other. What is the reason for that? Reason is this. If I have distress in me, I cannot remove the distress of somebody else. First of all, I should be free from distress. Only if I am free from distress, I can talk about removing the distress for others. And that means, unless I realize the self, I cannot do anything good to somebody else. Is it not? I am in ajnanam, I am in avidya. And what possibility do I have to remove somebody else's ajnanam and avidya due to which he is suffering or that person is suffering? So in other words, if I go there, even if I go there with good intentions, what I'll do there is only make the place situation worse. Make the situation worse. You can notice this all the time. If you look at it in the world at different places, how things are happening, the end result is always chaos. It doesn't get changed. So, just like this, we are now talking from Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Bhagavad Gita. But, suppose I have cultivated a lot of weaknesses and bad vasanas in me. Whatever I have those vasanas and weaknesses, it will come through my words to those who are listening. That's also there. That risk is there. That if I have cultivated various bad vasanas and weaknesses in the name of all other things, it will come through the words what it comes out. So, although every verse is from the Bhagavad Gita, there will be this poison in there, in that verse. It will be connected with that. So, just like you can see, words are all same. They are not much different. Just like in the homeopathy medicines, if you look, everything is a white, small thing, isn't it? Small, small.
tablets or what you call it, small
globules.
Yeah, whatever that is, yeah. So, and they're all sweet also.
Yeah.
And so people like homeopathy because that it's sweet, a few small guliya that has to take it. That's always easy to take it, isn't it? And you will notice that when somebody, if you go for diabetes or if you go for blood pressure or if you have a headache or fever, they'll, you think that it's the same thing they are giving to you. They say about this same thing, isn't it? But what is the difference? Difference is they all look alike, but what is poured into that, that is different. Composition is different. Looks alike all, but the composition is different. They're all different. So, and similarly, the sound that is coming out is all the same. Whether anyone says, it's the same thing. But the vastu that has gone inside that is different, is different. So therefore, while finding out that vastu is more important, that's what I'm saying this, that Krishna mentions here, janma mrityu jaravyadi dukha doshanu darshanam. Krishna says there, isn't it? So when you see something, if you have to get frightened, you should get frightened. You should get frightened. And after getting frightened, only then your inquiry will begin properly. So you have to ask the question that if birth, death, old age and disease is permanent thing, is there a final escape from this? It is this question the rishis have asked. The sages have asked this question. And because they had this question very seriously going through their head, therefore they did not destroy the material nature. Because this question was in their friend and they did not go to fight with the world. This is the rishi's process. Rishis are saying to us, the sages, they are saying to us that these are the important issue. Why should I fight with the world and destroy the world in the process without solving this problem? In other words, that proper discrimination was there in their heart that they were able to ask the right question first. We can't even ask the right question. All what we do is go and exploit the world and destroy the world and then trying to find some peace here. How is that possible? That is the question. Therefore, they didn't go to invade any country. They didn't go and disturb others' life in any way, destroy other cultures. So it is, this question has come up many times. It's only in the Vedic culture they didn't go out to invade other cultures or destroy other cultures. And when one famous sannyasi was talking about Vedic culture, someone in America asked this question to him. If your Vedic culture is so advanced, how come they did not conquer the world? That was the question asked. So he gave the answer, that only savages conquer. It's all savages who do that. Go and conquer others, exploit others, and barbarians, in other words. One who has culture inside, they don't do that. That is, Rishi's words are this. So, one who has peace inside, he will not go and attack somebody. If you look at animals also, you can see that. Animal who is peaceful, he won't go and attack somebody. When he gets disturbed, he goes and attacks, isn't it? If you go and try to do something to the animal, animal will react immediately. So basically you can see that these questions always come up. That how come Vedic culture hasn't spread all over the world? How come people did not, if the culture is so strong and if the knowledge is so high, how come it did not take to all over the world? That question people ask all the time. Answer to that is this, that this knowledge is not for conquering others. Those who want to take it can take it and get the benefit from that. Conquering others is not a very big thing in this world. They take it as though it's the greatest success in life. So, in order that to bring that shanti inside or peace inside, you have to take this medicine first. What is that medicine? Janmam mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. This is the first medicine. And And this has to be gone inside. If this has not gone inside, you have to know the disease first and you have to take the medicine for that. You have to take the medicine for that. That is first Krishna's instruction in that verse. Indriyateshu vairagyam anahangaram evacha janmam mrutyu jaravyadi dukha doshana darshanam. Why Krishna is saying all these things? This is the only way you can make that path clearer for us. Otherwise it is not possible. That's why Krishna is saying that. If you take this janma mrutyu jaravyadi very seriously and dukha doshana darshanam happens from that, Krishna says there is some hope that you will see the distress of this world. But most of us don't, do we? When people die, we say, oh, he's meant to die, he has died and gone. Or when sickness comes, we'll go to the best hospital according to our capacity and get treated. And if it gets cured, fine. If it doesn't get cured, we keep a low profile and live in this world, live with it. This is our act. That is not vivekam. That's not discrimination. And as far as birth is concerned, we are not frightened at all. Because he says, you say, who do you know that you are going to take birth again? You already have come through one birth. Still you are saying, how do you know that you are going to take another birth? What are you supposed to say to that? The fact, at least we know that we have taken one birth. And then we are so bold enough to deny that there will not be another birth. So that itself shows that jnanam insight. This is why rishis gave importance to knowledge. Rishis didn't give importance to anything else. They gave importance to this knowledge, to analyze life in the proper way and to find the correct answer to these problems. So Krishna says here that that restlessness inside, ashanti it's called, in order to come to put it to a stop, you have to take this medicine, which is janma mrutyu jaravyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. Now, you know that when you take medicines, there are restrictions, isn't it? When you take medicines, there are restrictions. In allopathy, there is not much. Allopathy, that's why everybody likes allopathy. You can take tablets, paracetamol, other side you can keep drinking also. And that suits people's lifestyle. They're happy with that. This is not human nature. This is not, human species are not meant to live like that. If I can continue with my sense gratification and the medicine is helping me, then it's okay. This is the allopathy principle. Ayurvedam says that if you want to come to normal state means freedom from disease, and to stay in that state always, there is certain restrictions in life. So what does Krishna say here? Just like this janma mrutyu jaravyadi dukkha doshana darshanam, when you take these medicines, there is some restrictions attached to that. In Shastram they call it as pathyam. Pathyam means some restrictions in life. And what is that pathyam? That is the next verse, if you look. Ninth verse, I think. Asakti anabhishvangam.
Asakti anabhishvangam.
Utradara grihadishu.
Utradara grihadishu.
Nityam cha samachittatvam.
Nityam cha samachittatvam.
Ishtanishtobapattishu.
Ishtanishtobapattishu.
Asakti anabhishvangam.
Asakti anabhishvangam.
Utradara grihadishu.
Utradara grihadishu.
Nityam cha samachittatvam.
Nityam cha samachittatvam.
Ishtanishtobapattishu.
Ishtanishtobapattishu.
This is that pathyam. This is the restriction. In order that, when first you have to take the medicine. Medicine is what? Janma mrutyu jaravyadi dukkha doshana darshanam. That has to go in. When you are taking that medicine, the restriction is this. Asakti anabhishvanga putradhara grihadishu nityanja samachitattvam ishtanishtobapattishu. If you don't follow this, and then you take the medicine, it won't work. So, let's look at this way. In the last verse, Indriyateshu Vairagyam, in that verse, Ajaya Swamiji's comment, he says here, this Janma Mrutyu Jaravyadi, he says, Janmani, life, Garbhavasa Yoni Dvara Nisaranam, Dosha Tasya Anudarshanam Alojanam, he says. Garbhavasam. He should think about the time he has spent in the womb of the mother. Garbhavasam.
ഗർഭവാസ ദോഷം തസ്യ അനുദർശനം ആലോചനം. വി മോണ്ട് റിമെമ്പർ ദ ടൈം വി സ്പെൻഡ് ഇൻ ദി ഗർഭം ഓർ ഇൻ ദി മദേഴ്സ് വൂം, ബട്ട് യു ഷുഡ് സി അതേഴ്സ് വെൻ ദ ബേബി ഇസ് ബോൺ ദാറ്റ് ബേബി ഹാഡ് സ്പെൻഡ് 10 months ഇൻ ദ വൂംബ് ഓഫ് ദ മദർ, ഹൗ മച്ച് ദാറ്റ് ബേബി ഹാസ് സഫേർഡ്. And that has happened to me also, happened to all of us, isn't it? So that should be thought about. Tasya anugarshanam alochanam. You should think about it. Tathau. Similarly, mrityu doshanudarshanam. Death also you should see. The body is dying one day and going away. You should become aware of that. Tatha, similarly, jarayam prajnashakti tejo nirodha doshanudarshanam paribhutatacha iti. That how old age is changing us, is it not? What happened there? Jara brings prajna shakti tejo nirodha doshanu darshanam. It's very, if you go through old age you will know it very easily how it is making us in a very difficult situation, forgetting everything forgetting, and becomes very awkward when somebody has told you something and you can't remember. And then you tell that person, oh, you didn't tell me that. You didn't tell me that. You are very bold in saying that. Person has told, why? This is that one. Prajna shakti tejo nirodha doshanu darshanam. Not only that, your tejas is going. Tejas means the shine in the face. No. If an old man walks through, nobody wants to talk to you because you're an old person. Leave the old man to himself, they say. Don't give him any trouble. So with all that, old age is not very welcome situation in this world, is it not? Plus, all those people for whom you have given your life, finally they turn their back to you. And then you start seeing the whole life has been wasted. So, prajna shakti tejo nirodha doshan darshanam. That old age will make this realization in us. Still we will say, oh, it's my family, my son, my my daughter, they're all mine. We keep saying, with all what they don't consider they are yours anymore, but you are thinking they are yours, and you are trying to keep yourself in a happy state by thinking like that in front of the society, for the parties, for the marriages, you are going there with the family and all that, show up the face, they are not interested, but you are dragging them there. Anyway, prajna shakti tejo nirodha doshana darshana. That there itself you can see, is this something worthwhile doing all this show in the world? That something that's not real. Artificially I have to build up an image in front of the society, everything is perfect at home. Paribhudadaja iti tatha, similarly, vyadhishu shiroyogadishu doshana darshana. One after the other, when the old age comes, how disease comes, one after the other, is it not? That I think after about 65-70, majority of the people, 80% of the time is spent in the hospitals, in the blood clinics and places like that. That's where their life is centered off. And it becomes a regular trip to hospital. Every time you ask, oh, I got a hospital appointment, a dentist appointment, or I got this, optician's appointment. So you got Monday to Friday chalked out appointment with the different consultants and GPs and the all other things. And you think everything is perfect in life. So, there also, there is no thought about this. What Ajari Swami says here, Vyadishu Shiro Rogadishu Doshanu Darshanam. All these things, you won't get it till you get old. Till then, you can't get experience of all these things, isn't it? So, old age is worthwhile living sometimes to get to know these things, that a life is like that. Vyadishu Shiro Rogadishu Doshanu Darshanam. Continuously, day after day, visiting doctors and consultants and GPs and this and that. Is that a very nice thing, nice way of life? And Tatha Dukheshu Adhyalmadi Bhudadi Deva Nimitteshu. And because reflecting all these things, you will know very well that how much you are taken away from the path of realizing the self. Because all these doctors' visits, hospital visits, everything is injecting this bodily concept strongly into us. That's all what it does, isn't it? And the distress that is coming from that. Even after visiting all these places, is there any solution to the problem? No. All he does is somehow he keeps this body going in this world. That's all their goal is.
Athava dukhani eva dosho dukha dosha tasya janmadishu purvavad anudarshanam dukham janmam dukham mrityuho dukham jara dukham vyadhayaha dukha nimittatva janmadayo dukham na punaha sarupena eva dukham iti. The sad thing in all these things is all these distress, janma mrityu jara vyadhi, if even if you realize them that they are all distress, all other distress also what is coming in life, the prime cause of all that is these four things. Is it not? Because you have taken birth, you have to go through all the other problems of life. You have to work, you have to go through earning money and all other kind of responsibilities here, what you have created. And you can see here that the main cause of all these distress is that accepting a material body itself. Evam janmadishu dukkha doshanu darshana dehendriya vishaya bhogeshu vairagyam upajayate. If you continuously experience this distress that is happening inside due to these problems of life, that material body, sense objects, and the results of our actions in this world, karma bhalanubhavam, you will develop detachment from that. That is the advantage of it. Krishna is saying here that this janmamrtyu jaravyadi, why it is spoken so strongly is that when you see the distress in that, naturally that you will start realizing that the body is the cause of all the problems. Isn't it? And body means what? Body wants to enjoy the senses. Sense objects becomes important. So the importance of body, importance of sense objects, they leave. What else leaves? Karma bhalanubhava. That means when your body is engaged in karma, you are very anxiously waiting for the results to come from that. So that karma bhalanubhava or results that come from the karma, you get detached from all that. Karma bhalanubhavam, indriya vishayam and deham, material body. Material body, sense objects, and the results of karma. In all these three things, you will get a detachment from that. And vairagyam upajayate. Tada pratyagalpani pravrtihi karananam atma darshanaya evam jnana hedutval jnana uchade janmadi dukha doshanu darshanam. In other words, all these things, what it does is, the activities of the subtle body, it becomes much more vibrant. In other words, that means if you see the distress in all these things, the subtle body becomes more vibrant. Subtle body means the mind, intelligence, ego and the chittavritti. Manasa, buddhi, hangaram, chittam. Four things. This is called the subtle body. Normally our subtle body is not very active, isn't it? Gross body is active. If you see these problems in this world, janma mrityu jara vyadhi, what will happen is the subtle body will become vibrant. In other words, mind will develop into this understanding that there is distress in the world. Intelligence will start analyzing it in a deeper level. And ahangaram will naturally come to a little subdued level. And chittavritti will also go away to a large extent. Because chittavritti is due to the world. If the subtle body becomes active, chittavritti goes down. Because our subtle body is not active, we are absorbed in the world all the time. Therefore, subtle body doesn't have much role to play. Most of the time, only a very small part of the subtle body is active with the gross body. Majority of the subtle body is not functioning properly. So, jnana hedutva jnana uchyade janmam janmadi dukha doshanu darshanam. So, because it turns our attention inwards, which one? This dukkha doshanu darshanam, janma mrtyu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam, it turns our attention inwards, and because it becomes a cause of self-realization, Krishna says these four things are also called knowledge. Which one? Janma mrtyu jara vyadi is called knowledge. Dukkha doshanu darshanam, janma mrtyu jara vyadi is called knowledge. Called knowledge. So, after saying that, Krishna mentioned in the next verse, asakti, I mentioned this, that it is the kind of what Krishna calls it as the medicine what you have taken, which is janma mruti jara vyadhi, but the restrictions attached with that in your life in this world. So there Krishna says here that asakti, Krishna says asakti, the first word is asakti, isn't it? Asakti means attachment. Asakti means non-attachment. All the objects are there, but there is no attachment inside. That is asakti. You cannot jump out of this world. That's not possible. Even if you have changed to saffron clothes, you're still living in this world, isn't it? So even if you have built an ashram, you are still inside the world. Some people think that if you have built an ashram, they have got out of the world. Or if I go and stay in an ashram or in a spiritual environment, people get this misunderstanding. You can see often devotees and others saying that, I stay in the temple. As though you are completely insulated from everything else in this world. You're not insulated. That's a misunderstanding. And then sitting there, developing all other vasanas there. That also happens, isn't it? So, that temple is also inside this world. You have to remember that. It's not outside the world, isn't it? So, wherever we are, not that you live in an ashram or live in a temple, but wherever you are, those things what affects you, if you can stay away from their attachment from that is what Krishna is talking about. Asakti. That asakti refers to that. Doesn't matter where you are. You may be in the city, or you may be in the country, you may be in the village, or you may be in the ashram, you may be in the temple, you may be in a hotel. Wherever it is, you have, karma has taken you, brought you there. In all those situations, still able to get not connected with anything. That is asakti. So that is what has to be found out, how to remain in that state. You cannot give up things which are outside you. But inside you have to give up. Outside you cannot give up. You can't say that I'll go home and I'm going to throw away everything from the house and I'm not going to get attached to anything. Sometimes people do like that, isn't it? In the beginning, some devotees did that. They threw away everything. Handed a vairagyam, they said. Didn't last very long. And very things that they have thrown out, after a few years, they were looking for that. And they were lamenting, we have thrown or given away everything like this. Now, what do we do? That shouldn't happen. That is not vairagyam. That's proper not understanding things. Asakti means attachment has to go inside. So sometimes what happens that this happens to many people in spiritual life very often, that one time they'll give up everything, go away and join an ashram or something. After a few years in the ashram, they start realizing it's not all that what we thought before, and then they come back to this world again, start a family life, and then you need everything what you had, what you wanted before, so desires comes back again. So, in other words, what does it mean? It means that the attachment has not gone inside. Vasanas were still there, so therefore come back to it again. So, inside if you are given up, if you have given up that connection inside, in a natural way, that object will leave you externally. Externally, it will leave you. Asakti. That is asakti. I mean, inside if the connection is broken, outside connection won't remain very long. It cannot stay very long. But provided the inside connection is broken. Asaktihi. So, that means not sticking to anything in this world. Doesn't matter what it is. Family members, money, home, friends, whatever it is, not sticking to anything. It will come and it will go. That's all it is. That is what that asakti means, refers to. Krishna says, anabhishvangaha, he says there, isn't it? So, these are the conditions Krishna has put on when you are taking this medicine of Janma Mrutyu Jara Vyadi Dukkha Roshani Darshanam. So, Anabhishangaha is very important in the sense that, say, in a family, for example, if you start thinking that they are all mine, my family, my wife, my children, and my brothers, my sisters, or my parents, my nephews, my like this, centered around your own immediate family and the extended family, thinking that they are all mine, and you trying to influence them, and you expect them to listen to you, what you want them to do. And if you do like that, that you're expecting them to live according to your desire or according to your plan, that is called anabhishangada. Anabhishangada means not doing that. In a family itself, there are four or five people. All the four or five will go in four or five directions. There's no point in trying to think that all of them will go together to the spiritual world or anything. It's not going to happen. It hasn't happened even in the great families. Even Prabhupada's family, you can see, Prabhupada mentions that. That his own children, grandchildren and others, wife, they didn't go in his way. They had their own, their karma was like that, to go in that direction. And that is what we have to learn. To think that they will all come with me in everything what I do, and they will agree with me in whatever I do, and they will join me in everything whatever I do, and they are going to be my, following my footsteps, that will be the greatest ignorance. That is anabhishangada. Anabhishangada means that. That not to expect from others, whether they are close members of family or anything, to do what you want them to do. So, therefore he says here, putradhara grihadishu. This anabhishangada, particularly in relationship with the children, wife and home. That's where all problems starts, isn't it? We create big problems there when we start doing that. Putradhara grihadishu. Particularly those who are at home or those who are very close to you. It is possible that you can be anabhishangada towards a neighbor. That's not a problem because they will act in their own way. You can't do anything about it. Because, or to the society also, you can be. But with family, it becomes more difficult. Because what is the reason if you have that? Because that attachment is not there with them, in that way. There you may say, which whatever they do, it's up to them. Why do I bother? You will say like that, isn't it? So, but my wife, my children, when they go something wrong, then I get concerned about it. I get concerned about it, isn't it? So, so one person told Krishna like this. He says to Krishna, even if the whole world goes to hell, doesn't matter. He says to Krishna like this. But only as long as me, my wife, and one man, Goldsmith, if he is there, then I am happy, he says. Because I know that the goldsmith will make very nice jewelry for my wife. And if he makes good jewelry for my wife, she'll be happy. And if she's happy, I'll be happy. This was his logic in that. There are people like that in this world. Don't think that it's a joke. It's not a joke. There are people like that in this world who calculate everything in this way. They can only see that much. They can't see anything beyond than that. So that is abhishangam. Abhishangam means that wherever you have connections like this, thinking that me and my wife should be happy in all situations. If that realization comes, there's nothing you can do about it. And then Krishna is saying here, abhishanga means this. This sticking, all the time sticking to somebody in that way. Or expecting from them something all the time. So, for people who are spiritually oriented, this is a big problem. So this is a big problem. They will expect everyone at home should be very spiritual. Or they will expect everyone in the country should be very spiritual, or the community they are living should be very spiritual. And if you start thinking like that, it will not happen. It will not happen. You have to mind your own business. Do not even think about your wife, children or anybody thinking that they are all going to follow your path. You take to this, and Krishna is saying there, asakti anabhishvangam. You see, for realizing the self, this is important. Otherwise, Krishna wouldn't have spoken, because he knows very well self-realization is an individual business. It's not a whole community-based thing. In many people believe in that, isn't it? They believe that if you have a whole group in a massive scale, if you involve people in spiritual life, you can do all that. It will all look very good in the photographs and everything. It will all look good. But individually, he is not getting anywhere. He'll go for the program, he'll get initiated. Sometimes when you see these photos, thousands of people are getting initiated into various churches or various places. Yeah, and the arrangements they make, they all sit in a row and big guru comes and he initiates them. And when you start thinking, oh, this whole world is changing like this. Nothing has changed. What has changed is that they had a ceremony together all. Krishna has never spoken those things. Krishna's point is direct to us, to each individual. Krishna is saying to us, you want to escape, try. And you can escape. But don't think about the rest. That is up to them to come out from that. Krishna's process, if you understand, it is not a mass-based thing. This spiritual life is not a mass-based thing. Spiritual life is a very individual thing. If you realize what Krishna has spoken, and if you have accepted wholeheartedly, you can exit from here and find a solution to this, realize the truth. That's the only possibility. There's nothing else you can do. So many people have tried in this world to change this world, isn't it? Krishna himself says this. When Krishna was leaving the world, Uddhava asked him, isn't it? Uddhava asked him about it. Krishna says, as soon as I leave, the whole thing will go back to the same state. Even Krishna is saying this. And it's the same thing with others also, whether it is Jesus or Prophet Muhammad or whoever has come. They have come and gone, but what has happened? The same problems exist today. There's nothing has changed. And we can say we are Christian, we are Hindu, we are Muslim, this, that and the other. Where is the solution to the problem? That's who is realizing the truth? Except that in the name of one religion or the other, we can fight each other. Apart from that, nothing else have we gained from all this, isn't it? So the point Krishna is making here is, anabhishvangada means this first thing, sticking to anything in this world, because it's necessary to develop that, find that distress in this world, it will help for that purpose. So, as soon as we think that, we all make this mistake. When we become spiritual, we think the whole family should become spiritual. That is not going to happen. They may or may not. They may go their own way. And if you push too far, they'll become totally against you. Go in the opposite direction. So, what can Krishna do about it? What can Krishna say about this? He says, and if somebody becomes like that, what Krishna does normally is, he will bring totally opposite person in the family and give birth to him there. To make him realize that it doesn't work like that. Look at history. To Hiranyakashipu, because he wanted everyone to follow his route, Krishna got and planted Prahlada right in the family itself. That's what he does. This is Krishna's way. If we think that the whole family will follow me, and if they don't follow me, I'm not going to take notice of them and I become indifferent to them, at some point Krishna will make sure that the whole family will become turn against you. Turn against you. So that is Krishna's way of doing things. And on your own, you can't change anybody. We can't change ourselves. What to talk about changing others? This is where we are today, is it not? So that is an ego inside. Ahangaram it is. That's what is dictating that. To change others. To correct others. And to me, that is not possible. That is not possible. So, at least at that time, Krishna will teach us this lesson to us. This world is mine, not yours. You will realize this at some point. Many, many big people have come to this world. They have tried to change this world. They have all left this world. Mm-hmm. Is it not? So many acharyas have come, gurus have come, sannyasis have come. And they have tried, but they couldn't change it. They couldn't change it. Eventually, they all said the same thing, that changing the world was not the purpose behind it. If somebody wants to take this knowledge and escape from here, they can escape it. That is what it was spoken for. Not with the purpose of changing the world. So this experience is happened to many, many great personalities. Opposite experience from what they thought. It has happened to them in their life. So, Krishna says here that you can see in Mahatma Gandhi's life also, none of his children went his way. They went against it. Mahatma Gandhi's, so he tried very hard to bring them in his own way of thinking, but it didn't work. Well, so, wherever, what it points out is this, that if you have forcefully developed this Abhishwangam, this is what Krishna says here, Asakti and Abhishwangam. That Abhishwangam, if you develop anywhere, you will see Krishna brings a force in such a way that exactly opposite to that coming through him. And that in the form of time, in course of time, that power of Krishna will come opposite to that, of against your way of thinking. That is only due to the attachment. Due to the attachment. So, when Hiranyakashipu said that nobody should worship in his kingdom, he brought that person who worships 24 hours and put him in his house. Prahlada. Hiranyakashipu said nobody should worship. What did he say there? He says, no cow protection, no help to the Brahmana, protection of the Brahmanas, all temples should be closed down, and no sacrifices should be performed. And no activity which will strengthen Vishnu, yajna, should not be performed. Is there in the Bhagavatam, you will see there. And what did Krishna does? Krishna goes and gives his son as Prahlada, who has nothing else in this world except this business. This is what you see in the Puranam. The stories are like this, to give us this indication that why Anabhishwangada is important. That is why it is spoken like that in the Bhagavatam. This Anabhishwangada is such an important thing. We always see this in the spiritual environments. Many times people, they take to spiritual life and then they want to make everybody else in the family also to go in that way. But if you become excessive in that way, Krishna will put a force in such a way totally opposite to that. He will start operating inside the house. So, Asakti and Abhishwangaha. So, you know the story that Socrates' wife always used to shout at him. Socrates' wife, if you read about Socrates, you will see she was always shouting at him. And he was not bothered about her at all, whatever she said. And so one day, some of his disciples were there. Socrates was a realized soul. Prabhupada also says that about Socrates. That for about 7 hours, he was instructing about spiritual life to someone at home. And this whole 7 hours that this Socrates' wife was shouting at him, because he was not doing anything at home. He was just sitting there and talking philosophy. So she thought, how is this house going to go in this way? Husband is always very philosophical. And so at that time, Socrates didn't care a lot about what she was saying. Ultimately, she lost her patience. So she brought a huge pot of pitcher of water and threw the whole water on his head, on Socrates' head. Socrates says, at that time started smiling. And he says to him, every day it thunders, today it rained. This was Socrates' answer to that. That is Anabhishwangala. He's not bothered about it. There's so many examples like that throughout history if you look. Self-realized soul is not bothered about what goes on in this world. He is not expecting the world to change according to his plan. Rather, he is concerned about himself. That is not selfishness. Because if one person realizes the truth, it will do good to so many others to go in that truth. That is the benefit from that. You will see in Prabhupada's introduction to Bhagavad Gita. Have you read that? Prabhupada says there, after all this effort, if one person becomes Krishna conscious, he says, it is worth the while. He knew very well that things are not going to be like this forever. He was conscious of that. So many things will happen, so many people will fall, go away, and those who are staying also may not be up to the expectations. All these things Prabhupada knew. So his point is, you will see if you read the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, he says, somewhere he says, out of all these, he said, my efforts, if at least one person becomes properly Krishna conscious, he said, my effort is worthwhile. That's how he sees that. This is always, it is like that. So that Ahangaram inside, he tells us that I have to solve this problem. So, So we cannot change others. That is a wrong concept to think like that. Then what do you do with them then? Using them, utilize them for your tapasya. In other words, from their life, learn what is necessary for your advancement in spiritual life. That is possible. Seeing their life. So, so once it so happened that I think I have mentioned this before also, a very learned acharya in the Vedic tradition, very fixed in his spiritual life, but wife was always disturbed in the mind, a little bit eccentric, you can say. He is a great devotee and very fixed in his spiritual life, sadhana, and in his shastram, knowledge of the shastram, and he helped other children also, educated them in this process. So once it was so happened that when she got upset with him for something, and he was teaching his children in the classroom, at home he was teaching a few children about shastram. He was teaching the shastram to them. She came with the knife in the hand from the kitchen. She was so angry or upset about it. When she came, what did he do? He stood there and looked at her and started reciting this verse. Ashtau bhujangim hishasya mardinim. He did not see her as though she has come to kill him. Any moment she could have killed him. Quiet. He says, you have got eight hands. And you know, she is seeing the Mahishasura Mardini form. It's a verse in the Shyamalananda, a famous verse it is. Ashtau bhujangim mahishasya mardinim. Durga Devi's manifestation has come in front of me. He says that. She is saying, in other words, even in that form which appeared in front of him, he is not seeing her as though she has come to do any harm to him. And as soon as he saw her, that higher vision in him, to see that Krishna's manifestation, another form in front of me, she dropped that knife there itself and walked away from there. And this, who said this? The students who were attending his classes later on. After reciting those words, he paid his obeisances to her. Immediately, her anger disappeared. On the other hand, if you think like this, suppose it was us, what would we have done? Think that also. So, I don't know, we don't have to expand on that, isn't it? You can imagine how you would have reacted that, is it not? That situation. So, that is why it could end up in all kinds of situations, isn't it? 999 dialing and everybody will arrive on the scene and things like that can happen. But this is Vaidya culture. Vaidya Samskaram is teaching us these things. If you heard about Tukaram's life, well-known life, isn't it? Tukaram's wives always yells at him and give him a lot of trouble also, because Tukaram was not disturbed about anything. Tukaram says to her, Avila, I think that was her name, and in fact in his abhangs, Tukaram's abhangs, if you look, you'll see 13 abhangs he's instructing her about spiritual life. And everything is instructed, sit in this way, chant this holy name, a lot of spiritual instructions he gives to her. And a lot of advice to her on spiritual life. After hearing all these 13 abhangs, she says to him, you can do all these things, I've got many things, other things to do. Saying that she walked out from there. This is how sometimes it is. Very seriously, he called her and asked her to sit down, and he gave all these instructions to her. And she says to him, you can do all that, I'm going. She said, I got so many other things in the kitchen to do. And she walked on from there. So you can, what it is saying here is that, she says to him, I've got plenty of things to do. You can keep singing here like this. Sit whole day and start singing bhajans and play the drums and enjoy your life like this. I can't do that, he says. She says to him like that, that who will look after the buffaloes? They had buffaloes then. And buffaloes. Who is going to look after the buffaloes? Who is going to milk them? And whatever she said is correct also. You can't say no to that, can you? That suppose both husband and wife is like, oh, who is going to do all the work? You start the family life, now it has to go on, isn't it? But because he has, if she was like that and he was like this, he executed his spiritual life, he did not get affected by her attitude, by her attitude. And he was not disturbed over her, he was not disturbed over her. And he remained as a grihastha till the end of his life, till the end of his life. And wife was with him all the time and he was totally opposite. He was totally opposite. At least one good thing was, in them days, even if all these things happen, they won't break and go away. Today, a small thing is sufficient to break up and go in your own way. Okay, you can continue with your spiritual life. I'm going, he'll say, isn't it? So, but at least that things didn't happen then. So, here you can see, even if she is opposite, it doesn't matter. Practically, it helps you. If she remains a little bit opposite, it will help you to develop this anapishongada. Suppose if she is very favorable, it's not very good. Sometimes we say like this, isn't it? Or if you have a wife who is very favorable in Krishna consciousness, you're together, what will happen is, anabhishangala won't happen, develop there. You'll become attached there. Attachment will develop there. So, it makes it a lot easier if you are not very agreeable in everything. At least in your mind inside, there will be a detachment. I can't do anything about it. She has to go her way or he has to go his way. I can't do anything about it. That, in reality, it is helping in spiritual life. That does not mean you have to reject that person or develop hate inside. It is just that there are two ways two people have to go. So, so in order that excessive attachment does not develop, it helps. It helps. So, if a wife is very loving nature and if it is very favorable, attachment will develop. Attachment will develop. There also one has to be careful. So, if it is favorable also, you have to be very careful about that. That is why Krishna is saying here, two words there. If you notice carefully, asaktihi and abhishvangaha. Two things. Asaktihi and abhishvangaha. Those two things go together. Those two things go together. So, now and then, we should reflect on this verse. Reflect on this verse. Here, one thing is, if you are not like that, one day they will leave you or you have to leave them. That is the realization from that. Why asakti anabhishanga is spoken is, one day they will leave you. No matter whether you like them or hate them, doesn't matter. They will leave you and go. It's only a question of time, isn't it? So, if you are conscious of that all the time, then asakti will come. Attachment, you're intelligent enough to develop that that understanding that she's going to go or he's going to go one day. There's no point in ever getting attached too much about it. And that awareness all the time inside asakti. Anabhishvangaha, particularly to the closer families. So if it is not like that, attachment develops means if anything happens to them, you will also feel the pain inside. You will also feel the pains inside. Anything happens to them, it will also disturb your mind. So, there are so many problems hiding behind this attachment, which you do not normally notice. We think that our job is to get attached and to remain attached for the rest of the life, isn't it? And if you develop that understanding, when problems come one after the other, you'll be completely completely lost in that process. So, Krishna says here, knowing this very well, but still you have to act with compassion. Compassion towards the others. Towards the others. So, asakti, anabhishvanga, putradhara, grihadishu,
Nityam ja samachitattvam ishta anishtava patishu, Krishna says. So, what does that mean? Now, asakti anabhishvanga putradhara grihadishu. So, this asakti and anabhishvangada is towards three things. Putram, children, dharam, wife, and griham, home. Sometimes he becomes too comfortable at home, isn't it? And then we say, we can't go anywhere because I'm stuck in my home. He'll say the excuse that I can't go anywhere because I'm stuck at home. That is also not a good thing. Krishna is saying that will also be taken away from. There also, attachment should not be there. Neither to the children, nor to wife. This is all addressing to the householder, he's saying. Or to the house. These three are main objects. Eshanatrayam is also based on these three. So in all these places, if asakti is there, anamishangada is there, Krishna says that will help. Then in the next two lines he says, Nityam cha samachitattvam ishta anishtobha bhattishu. He says, ishta anishtobha bhattishu. So, samachitattvam. Samachitattvam means, in happiness and so many things will happen in householder life. Whatever happens, samachitattvam. And not getting disturbed over it. That is what Krishna is saying like that. That samachitattvam. Samachitattvam means, equal mind, that not any disturbed inside because of that, and the name of that is yoga. Krishna mentions that before. Samatvam yogam uchyate, he mentioned in the 6th chapter, isn't it? So, whatever that is happening in the world outside, it does not create any waves inside. That is the point Krishna is making there. In other words, none of that can disturb my state of yoga inside. Inside you are in the yoga state. And that yoga state, if you are maintaining all the time, and you have to protect that inside. That is why this process expects this. That in order to keep this knowledge of the self inside, you are entering into a world inside where you are concerned about the happiness there in the, of the self. That means external world, you have to know where to keep it. Not to allow that to get inside. And that is why in the Bhagavad Gita you will see another word. Yogam karmasu kaushalam. Krishna says in another place, isn't it? So, karmasu, Krishna mentions here. If you break that word, karmasu kaushalam, kim kaushalam. So, kim kaushalam, what does kaushalam mean? If you understand that word, yogam karmasu kaushalam. There is a word like that in the Bhagavad Gita. I think it's the 6th chapter or something. Krishna says, what is this kaushalam, expertise in the karma. So, there you will notice this, that yogam karmasu kaushalam, Krishna says there, isn't it? What does it mean actually? It means that Krishna is saying, in karmam, if you have yogam, it is called kaushalam. In karmam, if you have yogam, it is called kaushalam. Not that you are an expert in the karmam. Some people have misunderstood it that way. You will always see people making this quotation while saying that if you are an expert in your karma, there are a lot of people who are experts in the karma, isn't it? So if you are an expert in your karma, it is yogam. Some people say like that. Yogam karmasu kaushalam. Actually, that is not what it means. It means that kaushalam means expertise. You know that word kaushalam, how it has come. That brahmacharis in the Gurulam, when they have to go and bring this kusha grass. While cutting the kusha grass, you need an expertise to cut it. Otherwise, you will hurt your fingers and blood will come out. But certain brahmacharis, they become expert at it in cutting the kusha grass. Those who have developed that expertise, they are clever in how to get the kusha grass without themselves hurt. From that word, it came kaushalam. From kushagras word came kaushalam in cutting the kushagras.
So Kaushala means that expertise in a person. Normally people think that if you are expert in your karma, that you are in the yoga state. Yoga karma su kaushalam. People misunderstand it that way. That's not what it means. Krishna is saying here that in yogam, in other words, if you are dexterous, the word, I think in English they have a word, dexterity they call it, isn't it? So dexterous, that is dexterity in your karmam. That in other words, when you are executing your karmam, not losing the yoga, not losing the yoga state, even while executing your karma, that is yoga karma su kaushalam. Not executing the karma is yoga karma su kaushalam. Instead, whatever karma is coming through the body and you are engaged in that karma, even at that time, your yoga state inside, you haven't lost it. What is that yoga state? Yoga state is this, that I have nothing to do with this body, I have nothing to do with this karma, body is doing the karma, I'm not doing it. And I expectation of the results from the karma does not disturb me. All this, executing the karma in that way, it is a karma that's passing through my body and able to execute the karma in that way. That is yoga karmasu kaushalam. Let the result be anything from the karma. Let the result be anything. And the effect of those results be anything. But still not to lose that yoga state. That is yoga karmasu kaushalam. Krishna is talking about. Remember that? Late, I think in 6th chapter, I think it comes. Karmasu kaushalam. So here, this yoga karmasu kaushalam, whatever that happens in the world, outside, once you have accepted this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, or knowledge of the Shastram, this knowledge inside should remain fixed. Under no circumstances that knowledge should be disturbed. External world should not get inside and disturb that knowledge. That is what Krishna calls it as yoga karmasu kaushala. Yoga karmasu kaushala. So we have a short break there.
चेतोदर्पणमर्जनं वामः दावाग्निनिर्वागणं श्रेयकैदवचन्द्रिकाविदरणं विद्यावधूजीवनम् आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपदं पूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वाप्नासुभनं परं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् नाम्नामगारिबहुधा निजसर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता मे मिदा स्मरणेन काल एतादृशं तव कृपा भगवन् नमामि दुर्दैवमेदृशमिहाजनिनानुरागाः तृणारविषुणीजेन तरोरपि सहिष्णुना मानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि न जनं न धनं न सुन्दरीं कवितां वा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरे भवदा भक्तिरगैरिते त्वयि ऐनन्दतनुजकिङ्करं पतितामहं शमे भवाम्बुदो कृपया तव पादपङ्कजस्थितगौली सदृशं विचिन्तयाशुधारय वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलगैर्निजितं कदा वभो तव नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधं शून्यायुधं जगत्सर्वं गोविन्दविरहे न मे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदां पिनष्टु माम् अदर्शनां मर्महदां करोतु वा यदा तदा वा विदधा दुलम्बनो मत्प्राणनाथास्तु नैव नापरा.
असक्ति अनभिष्वङ्ग पुत्रद्वार गृहादिषु नित्यं च समचित्तत्वम् इष्टानिष्टोपपत्तिषु. That is what we are looking at, isn't it? So here we are discussing that word yogam karmasu kaushalam. Proper understanding is that even while executing karma, not to lose that yoga state inside, that is kaushalam. That is what it means. Often people misunderstand that. They say that whatever that happens outside, whatever that happens outside, the yoga state inside is not lost. That's a yoga state. That means always fixed on the truth. You will see this here again that Yogam Karmasu Kaushalam. In the, if you look into this Viveka Chudamani book, there you will see one verse. Final many verses, Acharya discuss about what is Jivan Mukta means, one who is liberated. There's a number of verses which tells you in liberated state how he will be. It's a very interesting discussion in the Viveka Chudamani. Jivan Muktasu Uchade, he says many verses, it begins from the verses, begins from that, perhaps from the, this in the Bhagavad Gita, if you remember in the second chapter, Krishna talks about Sthita Prajna. That Sthita Prajnatvam and Jivan Muktatvam are not different. They're two different words, that's all. If you look into the qualities of the person, it's exactly the same. So, in the verse 427, in that Viveka Chudamani, he talks about Sthita Prajnatvam's stage of a person who is fixed in the Prajna, whose Prajna is situated in Sthitatvam, or situated in that stage. And then from then onwards, the remaining verses, in the 427 verse, he talks about Sthita Prajnatvam. After that, a number of verses, he calls it as Jivan Muktatvam. That means he is already liberated while living in this body state. So there you will see this verse, 440th verse. 440th verse, it says, Sadhubi Pujyamanesmin Abhi Gyamanebi Durjanehi Samabhavo Bhavedhyasya Sa Jivan Muktasya Lakshana. Jivan Mukta's one state, his symptom is like this. What is that? Sadhubi Pujyamanesmin Abhi Andamanebi Durjanehi. In other words, when he is worshipped by others as a sadhu, is Pujyamanevi, is worshipped by others, Pujyamanevi, or wicked people, Durjane, if they insult him, in either state, Samabhava, by the good, Tomal Bhavai, is known as a man liberated. It's a man liberated. That is one of the symptoms of a liberated soul. Not that only when he is garlanded or his feet is washed with yogurt or with vanilla flavor or whatever, only then he feels I am transcendental. But when he is criticized also for all what he has done, and then if he is not disturbed, then he is Jivan Muktasa Uchade. Acharya Swamiji says that. So, Jivan Mukta Selekshanam, Jivan Mukta state is like that because he is not disturbed over these things. So, here, sadhus, modern sadhus are not sure whether they are like that, but sadhus are here like that, whether they are worshipped or whether they are offended by the others in this world, his inside yoga state, he is not lost. He is not lost the yoga state inside. That is what Krishna calls it as yoga karmasu kaushalam. And that yoga sthiti or yoga state, if you don't lose it, Krishna says that is necessary to develop these qualities. Krishna says like this, Nityam cha samachittatvam ishtam anishtopabhaktishu. Ishtam is when you are worshipped. Anishtam is when you are offended or criticized. Isn't it? There are some, you have to say that, there are some people who have taken up this role of the leaders in society, in the spiritual life, and they get very offended when they do not get their worship. Is it not? You can see this all the time happening, people getting upset about it. And that why it was not done, they ask the question openly. They make their claim for that. That's not very spiritual. That's not. They may be thinking that it may be in the interest of the organization. But someone who is knowledgeable about spiritual life, he will make a proper judgment on that in this basis. Nityam ja samachittattvam ishtam anishtopapattishu. Ishtam and anishtam will come in this world. That is in your, not in your hands. That is in the hands of the Prakriti. Prakriti may test you in this way, that whether you are able to remain in that state still. So, one person, after all these things are cultivated inside, and only if all these qualities are in a person, you can say that that person is spiritual. Otherwise, you can't say he is spiritual. You can't say someone because he has put some clothes on and holding a danda in the hand that he is spiritual. You can't say that. But when all these qualifications what Krishna has spoken, if you see that it is there in him, then you can say he is spiritual. One person asked this question to Mahatma once, that for a long time I have been studying Bhagavad Gita and I am not making any progress in the spiritual path. So the Mahatma so told him, it's no point in simply studying Bhagavad Gita, but you have to listen to Bhagavad Gita, what Bhagavad Gita is saying to you. So he says to him, so Bhagavad Gita is not telling me anything, he says, this person who is reading it. So, so he says to him that Bhagavad Gita is telling so many things in general. He's telling so many things in general. So what does Bhagavad Gita say? The Mahatma asked him. What is the Bhagavad Gita saying to you? whole every day you are taking the Bhagavad Gita and reading it. And what does Bhagavad Gita tells you? He said. He say, so he couldn't answer that. He says, Bhagavad Gita is not telling me anything. No. He said, Mahatma told him, Bhagavad Gita is telling you something. Bhagavad Gita is telling you, don't look at me. You look at yourself. That's what Bhagavad Gita is telling us, isn't it? So, some people, they study Bhagavad Gita from a lot. All verses, all translations, all purports, all commentaries, everything. They keep it on their head for others, not for themselves. That is not good. Because that's what Krishna is saying here. That Bhagavad Gita is telling us something. Every verse in the Bhagavad Gita is telling us to look inside and to see what has to happen there. That is what Bhagavad Gita is written for, isn't it? So, when Bhagavad Gita is telling us to look inside us, Bhagavad Gita is asking us, why you look at me? Bhagavad Gita is saying to us. Bhagavad Gita is asking us to look at ourselves. And what do we do? What do we do? What we do is Gita class, Gita courses, Gita kick seminars, Gita certificates, Gita this, and memorizing the verses, and going to competitions, and all other things we do. We won't do what Bhagavad Gita is telling us to do. We'll do all other things what Bhagavad Gita has not told us to do. We are not saying that all these things has to be completely rejected. That's not what it means. Main purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to realize the self. The self within, the soul, what we are actually. That is from beginning to end, if you study Bhagavad Gita, that is the only goal in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, realize who you are. Without knowing this, all other things if you conduct yourself, you are not studying, you are not following Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So, it can help all other things, it may be, but that is not enough. It is not enough. As Bhagavad Gita says to us, Bhagavad Gita says to us, look at yourself and we have to do that. So, if you look at yourself, what will happen? You will see a lot of problems inside. Isn't it? Within ourselves, you will see the problems. So, seeing these problems inside is the first step. First step. And then, you will also realize that there is a state without any problems. At the moment when I look inwards, I see I have got a lot of problems. If you also look yourself, you will see yourself inside, you have got problems. Not for ego I am saying this. Sometimes you tell someone, hey, you got problems. He is thinking, oh, I have got problems? You got bigger problems, he's saying. That's ego, isn't it? All of us have got problems inside. Recognizing that, I have got problems, that is the first step. And then after that, the next thing to realize is that, is it possible to remain without these problems? What I have got now? Problems due to all other things like envy and jealousy and pride, all these things what Krishna has spoken about, ajnanam, coming from avidya or ignorance, in other words. So, little by little, when you start realizing there is a state without all these problems, Krishna is saying that that state has to come, that there is a state without all these problems, little by little, nityam ja samachittatvam ishta anishtova pattishu. When is that? Ishta anishtova pattishu samachittatvam, Krishna says. When happiness and distress is coming in life, samachittatvam, and that is what is expected. And that is what shows that you are free from the problems. In other words, when problems are coming one after the other in life, if you have reached that state of samachittatvam, then that will help to develop spiritual life. That's the point Krishna is making here. Indriyarteshu vairagyam anahangaram evacha janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. So when you are taking this medicine that you have found distress in life, and that is janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam, that is the medicine. If you are experiencing that, and if you have given enough time to reflect on that, like Bhartrahari did and many others did, from there you will realize that there is distress in this world. In order that when you are taking that medicine, Krishna is saying, along with that there are certain restrictions. There are certain restrictions. What are they? Asakti and Abhishvanga, which we have seen. Towards what? Putradhara Grihadishu. Breaking away from that attachment to wife, children and the home. Then, what else? Nityam cha samachittatvam. Always establish in that equal mind. Ishta anishtovapattishu. When happiness and distress comes in life, able to take it on board without any complaint. Never getting disturbed over this. So after saying this, so first Krishna says that, look at the way how Krishna puts it. First he says that you have to develop vairagyam in life, isn't it? He mentioned that before. Indriyarteshu vairagyam. And for that, he said, first of all, you have to come free from the pride, ego inside. Anahangaram evacha. And in order that vairagyam to develop, he is saying, you have to first start seeing, for vairagyam's sake, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. That is for that purpose. In order that the vairagyam develops inside, you need that, Krishna says. First you need vairagyam. In order to develop that vairagyam, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam is necessary. While cultivating this janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam, Krishna is saying there need to be certain controls, certain restrictions. What are they? Asakti anabhishvanga putradhara grihadishu nityanja samachitratvam ishta anishtopapattishu. That verse is for that purpose. The restrictions, what is implied in while taking this medicine for vairagyam. After this, Krishna is giving you the right medicine now. The other medicine was for vairagyam purpose. Now the actual medicine is going to give us in the next verse. If you look at the next verse. Mayi chananya yogena
bhakti ravya vicharini
vivikta desha sevitvam
aratirjana samsadim.
Mayi chananya yogena
bhakti ravya vicharini
vivikta desha sevitvam
aratirjana samsadi.
So that is the medicine, actual medicine. The other one, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam, was for the sake of vairagyam. We have taken that medicine, and while taking that medicine, the restrictions are asakti anabhishvanga putradhara grihadishu nityanja samachittatvam ishta anishtava patishu. Now Krishna is saying the right medicine for the disease. And what is that? Krishna says that the maijananya yogena bhaktira vibhicharini vivekta desha sevitvam aradar jana samsadi.
That is the 9th or 10th verse, isn't it? So, in the last verse, let's look at that from Acharya's Bhashyam here. Asakti means Saktihi Sangha Nimitteshu Priti Matram Tad Bhavaha Asaktihi. This is good. Asakti means Sakti. Sakti means attachment. How did attachment develop in the first place? Due to Sangha. Isn't it? Suppose you didn't know someone, then there is no attachment there. Because you came to know Sangam and started associating with that person, therefore attachment developed. So Acharya Swami says here, remember this, he said, you developed contact with some person and from there attachment developed. Isn't it? Whether it's husband or wife or brother or sister or whoever it is, where did this attachment develop in the first place? Initially there was no attachment. But sometime during life, you came into contact with a person and attachment developed from there. So, Sangha Nimitteshu Priti Matram Tad Bhavaha Asaktihi. Due to Sangam only it has happened. If you don't know the person, for example, there are many people in this world, I don't know about them. I don't know, there are many millions and billions of people. I don't have any attachment there, do I? Neither you have any attachment there. So, you can see this. Attachment is only developed due to Sangam. Once the Sangam is not there, attachment is not there. So, Sangam has caused attachment, and if you have abhavam of that, tad abhavaha asaktihi. All this attachment what we have, if you properly analyze it, you can see that all has no meaning, practically. Somebody whom you are very attached to, one day that person is gone. Then after 6 months, a year or 2 years, it just remains in the memory something. And there was someone like that. That's all it is. There's nothing more to it than that. Is it not? But when the person is here, you take it so seriously that, oh, what will happen if that person leaves me? Or what will happen if something happens to him? It causes anxiety inside and fear. All other things happen. But one day he goes or she goes, it may last for a few days or a few months. And after, if you ask the person, 10 years from now or 20 years from now, if you ask him, do you miss him? And you will see that person doesn't know what to answer. This is the life, isn't it? Krishna is pointing out that fact. That Sangam and Sakti and all that, that is only very limited thing. It's all in the mind playing its game. That's all. In the soul, there is no Sangam. Asangoyam, 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 puna puna. Souls by nature is asangam. It has cannot have any Sangam anywhere. Sangam is in the mind. Sangam is not in the soul. Isn't it? So that is why when we talk about the qualities of the soul, they deliberately mentions this, that Sangam is not in the soul, that quality of Sangam. Sangam is in the mind. And like everything else in the mind, after a while it goes. It goes. And and as time goes, pass away, that Sangam also goes away. Anabhishwangaha, abhishwanga abhavaha, abhishwanga nama sakti visheshaha, evam, adhanyatma bhavana lakshanaha, yadha anyasmin sukhini dukhini va, aham eva sukhi dukhi cha jivati mrteva, aham eva jivami marishyami cha iti. So, one thing always, nothing exists separately from me. This is anabhishangatvam, another side of it. Then everything else is somewhere connected with me. This understanding. This is called abhishangara. Abhishangara means this kind of attachment inside. That is from where we expect others to act in the way we want it to act, want them to act, isn't it? It comes from that. Everything is connected with me in some way or the other. And I expect them to act in a particular way. Because I feel that they are connected with me. That is why you are feeling like that. Is it not? You are feeling it is true in relationship with the family. It's true in relationship with friends. And it's true in relationship with many other people as well. So, Anbhishanga Bhavam says, Sakti Vishesham Eva Anadhyatma Bhavana Lakshanaha. In other words, Krishna says here that if you are thinking all day, everything is connected with you, that is abhishangam, that attachment. And another person, sometimes he is happy, sometimes he is distressed. And you start feeling that happiness and distress within yourself. Sometimes it happens in family life also, isn't it? Somebody else is happy or distressed, it affects you also. Some people. And they think that thereby, when you get disturbed, and then you say to them that that because I'm connected with you, I'm feeling the distress, or I'm feeling the happiness because of that. And this is all a result of this anabhishangada. So similarly, another person is living, and because he is or she is living, you are thinking, I'm living because of that. And when he dies, you feel you are also dead. This also happens from that, this anabhishangada. Sometimes it happens in people's life, isn't it? Suppose a partner leaves the world, or very close relation leaves this world, then you start thinking, all these years we lived together, and now suddenly he or she has gone, and I'm left alone. Often you meet people like that in this world, completely lost in that way. So Krishna is saying, this comes from abhishangada, that you feel some within yourself, some ajnanam, avidya inside, developed some connection with someone in an ignorant level. Actually, you have no connection. You have no connection with your own body. What to talk about another body? I think it's very hard to digest that, isn't it? You have no connection with your own body. What to talk about somebody else? This is the truth. Vedantam is very, very strong on these things. If you study Vedantam properly, all these things will get very clear. And there won't be any more hankering and lamentation. Krishna expects this to be understood. Otherwise, it is not going to happen. So Krishna is saying here that somebody is living or dead, you are getting disturbed over it. Somebody is feeling happy or unhappy, you are getting disturbed over it. Why? Because of this abhishangada. Abhishangada is the reason behind it. Kwa iti aha putra dara grihadishu putteshu dareshu griheshu adi grihanad anyeshu abhi atyandeshteshu dasavargadishu tat cha ubhayam jnanarthatva jnanam uchyate. Ajari Swami sanctions based on Krishna's words, mainly it happens in the putra dara grihadishu, among the children, wife and the home. And if you have servants at home, there also you feel like that. So this anasakti or anabhishangada is necessary for acquiring knowledge of the self. Acquiring knowledge of the self. And Krishna says that is also knowledge. Then finally, nityam ja samachittattvam tulya chittada kva ishta anishtopapattishu ishtanam anishtanam ja upapattayaha sampraptayaha tasu ishta anishtopapattishu nityam eva tulya chittada ishtopapattishu na hrishyati na kupyati cha anishtopapattishu tat cha edat nityam samachittattvam jnanam. That is the bhashya from that words. In other words, always in the same state of mind. Whether you get happiness or success in your life, in the material life, whether you get money, you don't get the money, whether you things happen the way you want it to happen, it didn't happen. Whatever it happens, the same reaction from inside. What you like, if you get it, you're feeling happy. And if you don't get what you wanted to get, and you get upset, angry, and not allow that to happen, that is that Krishna calls it as samachitattvam. Mm-hmm. And Krishna says that is knowledge. That is knowledge. After saying that, we go into the next verse. Maijananya yogena bhakti avyabhicharini vivitta desha sevitvam aradir jana samsadi. Krishna says that, isn't it? So there you can see a word, avyabhicharini. Krishna uses the word avyabhicharini. What is this avyabhicharini means? Avyabhicharini bhakti, Krishna calls it as. Maijan ananya yogena bhakti avyabhicharini. So what does it mean? Avyabhicharini means that I have no other shelter and to take completely shelter of Krishna. I have no other shelter in this world. I am surrendering to Krishna that way. Always taking Krishna shelter. That is Avyabhijarini. So, if you ask like that, then that decision making inside, only Krishna is deciding what is good for me, what is bad for me. Lot of distress will come in life. Your own people will turn against you in home, in family life. In all that situations, still not losing faith in Krishna. That Krishna is doing that and Krishna is doing the right thing for me. That is Bhakti Avyabhijarini means. Bhakti Avyabhijarini means that many things in this world may not happen according to your plan. You may have planned many things in life, many aspirations, many hopes and aspirations you may have. And you may have done everything, but some of them may have worked, some of them may not have worked. And sometimes you have done a lot of things for others, and finally the very people have turned against you in life. When all those things happen, it is possible that you may lose your control of the mind. You may get upset about it. Krishna is saying that Avyabhijarini Bhakti is necessary. In other words, when things go against you in life, still not reacting to that situation, thinking that it is Krishna who has decided it that way, and to accept it without any hate towards the other persons. Without hate towards the other person. If it is like that, should we not have to live in this world? This question will come always, isn't it? You have to always remember, life in this world is prarabdham. It is our prarabdham. Many devotees are finding it very difficult to accept this concept. This morning one devotee asked me this question. Again, I will explain that. His question was that he said, I heard your classes and you kept saying this, prarabdham, prarabdham. Rupa Goswami mentions in the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu that a devotee does not have prarabdham. There is misunderstanding there. We misunderstood the whole thing. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Narada Maharshi says about his prarabdham. Jadabharata says about his prarabdham. Vritrasura says about his prarabdham. And there are other instances also. Nirga says about his prarabdham. Prarabdham has done its role in their life. It will do in everyone's life. Nobody has any escape from that. Why does Rupa Goswami say like that? If it is like that. Reason is this. Rupa Goswami wrote Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, and that bhakti, what is spoken about in the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, is Parabhakti. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, even Krishna does not want to touch anybody's prarabdham, because that is the law Krishna has created. Now if the lawmaker himself breaks the law, then how will the law survive? He himself created that law. And this body is nothing but prarabdham. It is. Body itself is called prarabdham. And it is meant for vyavaharam. All body can do is vyavaharam in this world. Is it not? Bhakti is not vyavaharam. That's one important thing to remember. Bhakti is not meant for vyavaharam. Isn't it? But vyavaharam and bhakti has no connection. We come from the vyavaharam world. We don't come from the bhakti world. When we read Rupa Goswami's statement on prarabdham, you have to remember that he is talking about a person who has finished with the prarabdham. Not any Tom, Dick and Harry got initiated, he doesn't have prarabdham. If you say like that is difficult to accept. That's not right. He won't say that. When he is talking about in the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu about that devotees have no prarabdham, he's talking about that person who has reached that state. In the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is only one incident generally spoken where Krishna has touched somebody's prarabdham. Krishna can do with the prarabdham, but you have to be a devotee like him. Then yes, in Sudama's case. In his case, he had prarabdham to suffer in that body. But Krishna decided to change it. That is possible. But if we all start, general people, devotee, ordinary people like us, If you start saying, oh, because I initiated and I got 16 rounds chanting, I have no prarabdham, that is not acceptable. That's simply not right. It is only in very, very exceptional cases. That is why Sudama's story is particularly important, because this is one instance where Krishna has decided to do something about the prarabdham. Normally not. And that won't happen again. It's quite an unusual situation. So when we talk about general class of people, you have to accept the general theory also. That is, there is prarabdham in all of us. In all of us. So, vyavaharam and bhakti, they are two different things. We got so used to mixing these two things. Is it not? That's our spiritual life is like that. We ask Krishna so many things. Some things Krishna gives, something he doesn't give. We finally look into the calculation and see, is it profit or loss dealing with Krishna? This is how most of the business spiritual life is going on with most of the people. Devotees always say like this, isn't it? I don't know why Krishna is punishing me like this. Or I don't know why Krishna is... never complains to Krishna. Why is he looking after me so much? Then never comes. Only when some problem comes, he says, oh, why Krishna is punishing. And you start thinking, oh, it's a sign of my spiritual advancement. Actually, it's nothing to do with spiritual advancement. It's just like that. You are doing vyavaharam with Krishna. So, bhakti and vyavaharam, they have no connections between the two. Vyavaharam is prarabdham. Vyavaharam is prarabdham. Bhakti is taking shelter. They are two different things. You can't mix these two things together. It will be a big blunder if you start mixing these two things. You have to take shelter of Krishna. That has nothing to do with the prarabdham. And all the worldly objects, including wife, children, home, society, everything, you have to leave it to the effect of the prarabdham. And according to that prarabdham, whatever comes in life, accordingly you have to conduct your vyavaharam. That's all you can do. You can't do anything more than that. It's foolishness not to know these things and to start acting completely in ignorance and blindness, thinking that everything can be changed and Krishna will come out to help me all the way in all my projects and plans in this world. And mixing the bhakti with vyavaharam is the biggest mistake. That will not happen. That is what Krishna is saying here. That that bhakti avyabhicharini, he covers all these things in that, in those two words. Bhakti avyabhicharini. If you are connecting your vyavaharam with bhakti, then it is not avyabhicharini, it is vyabhicharini. It is prostitution. Vyabhicharam means prostitution. If you mix your material activities or vyavaharam with bhakti, it is prostitution. Krishna is saying to us, do not mix them together. Keep them separate. Vyavaharam will happen according to your prarabdham. All, if you look back into your own life, you can see things have happened according to the prarabdham. You got a husband or wife according to your prarabdham. You were born at a particular place according to your prarabdham. You got the children according to your prarabdham. You got a particular kind of work in this world according to your prarabdham. You got all kinds of sickness in the body according to your prarabdham. Everything is connected to your prarabdham. You can't change that. That will remain as it is. What you can do is to move away from that. And Krishna says, bhakti avyabhicharini. Still you can take Krishna's shelter. Nothing is stopping you from doing that. That's the point Krishna is making here. Nitya vastu, you have to take shelter. Anitya vastu, you have to use for vyavaharam. Very fundamental principle in spiritual life. Nitya vastu, Krishna is nitya vastu, you have to take shelter. Anitya vastu, world, temporary, which is temporary, you should only use it for business, for transactions. It's only for transaction. Nothing else to gain from this world. Even the wealthiest businessman in from this world, all he can do is vyavaharam only. He can't take shelter of it, can he? If he takes shelter, he will also have to leave one day and go. Even if he has acquired billions of pounds in this world, one day, vyavaharam is over, he is finished with the vastu. Connection is over. So, point Krishna is making here is, bhakti is not like that. Bhakti is not a vyavaharam. Bhakti is the nature of the soul's relationship with Krishna. There, vyavaharam doesn't come in. Vyavaharam has no role there. So, while execution of bhakti, no vyavaharam should come into it. Vyavaharam should not come into bhakti. Bhakti should go on its own. Vyavaharam should go the other way, in another way. Vyavaharam, you should not take shelter. Bhakti, you should take shelter. Vyavaharam, you should never take shelter. Bhakti, you should always take shelter. You should not use bhakti for vyavaharam, and you should not use vyavaharam for bhakti. Should not bring them together. So, like this, what they say is bank deposits. Similarly, all other things, what we do for thinking that if I do all these things, many things I've done for Krishna, and what is Krishna given to me to think like that? That is not bhakti. While executing so many things, always keeping behind mind that I'm sure Krishna is going to do all these things for me, and doing serving Krishna in that way. That is vyavaharam. That is vyavaharam. That is not bhakti. So, bhakti should not be used for vyavaharam. So, sometimes people see, you can see they give a lot of gold and wealth and other things to the temple, and Krishna doesn't want any of your gold, any of your crown, nothing. But Krishna wants his shelter. He wants us to take shelter. So, Krishna is permanent, nitya vastu, isn't it? Nitya vastu, you have to take shelter. What does shelter mean? Shelter means to know that Krishna is the only reality in this whole creation. World is not real. World is not real. So that is what it is. So a devotee, a proper devotee, he told everybody in this world, he said, this is an instance when a proper devotee, he was born in a family where others were not interested in the bhakti. They were interested in the family life. Family life means what? Marriages and birthday parties, all other things goes along with that, isn't it? So they asked him, could you not join us? After all, you are a member of our family. This is how the family members pulls you into it, isn't it? So this devotee told him, artha kama para yuyam narayana para vayam tasmal sarveshu kaleshu yuyam yuyam vayam vayam. This was his answer. What does it mean? Artha kama para yusham. You wanted money and desires. That's what is driving you in your life. He told his family members. Artha kama para yusham. And I have taken Narayana Parayana. I have taken Krishna shelter. You go your way, and therefore, Tasmal, Sarveshu Kaleshu, all times to come, you will be as you are, and I will be as I am. And he closed the chapter there. He didn't take it further. He didn't discuss anymore. He said, discussion is over, he said. They were inviting him to join in all the parties. Why don't you join us in all our social engagements and keep us all happy together? This is what the society is asking. He is telling him, Arthagama Paradeshu Narayana Parayanam. Narayana Paravayam. Arthagama Parayuyam, he says. Your shelter is in Artham and Kamam. Money and your desires. You have taken shelter there, he says to them. Arthagama para yuyam. You have taken shelter in all those things. Narayana para vayam. I have taken shelter in Krishna. Therefore, because you have taken shelter in that and I have taken shelter here, tasma, therefore, sarveshu kaleshu, for all time to come, yuyam yuyam, you will remain as you are, vayam vayam, we will remain as we are. Let's forget it, he said. You have to do that. There is no other way. You can't mix all these things together and thinking that I have to please this person, that person, other person, and then you want spiritual life also. Krishna is saying to us, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If you're serious about spiritual life, and if you're serious about Bhagavad Gita, all these things does matter. All these things does matter. Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu yuyam yuyam vayam vayam. And he finished the discussion there. Arthakama para yuyam, narayana para vayam, tasmal sarveshu kaleshu, yuyam yuyam, vayam vayam. It will remain like that, nothing is going to change. So, I think it is 5 o'clock.
We stop there. Yeah? We continue tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Jai.